Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left would be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Bob in Westchester. How are you, Bob?
I'm great. How are you?
Well, thank you.
First, I want to say that I never missed a show, and I really appreciate it.
Wow, that's listening.
And I just want to say that I really appreciate the topic you're covering this morning regarding full-blown AIDS and the fact that just because people lead a lifestyle that where they get the full-blown AIDS, it doesn't mean they're going to HE double hockey stick just because they've, gotten the full-blown AIDS either from having an unclean taint or from being BM eaters on the Don and Mike Show. And I think that it really is interesting that although I believe I am going to HE double hockey sticks just for...
Well, anyway, we hope that... Some interesting people. Well, anyway, we've been dealing...
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink... They use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
I'm playing this sexy music as a transition here.
Very good. I'm glad that he brought me up to speed.
Because it's time to find out the results of the Valentine's Day dildo game. Now, I hope that everybody really fulfilled their obligation on the show. You remember that last week, I think it was last Tuesday, a week ago, we each opened up a sealed envelope that had a gift.
Yes.
That we were supposed to give to our wives, husbands, boyfriends, or girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
I've got mine right here. I drew, just luck of the draw, curlers or curling iron. I will tell you that I gave the curlers to Frida.
Oh, good.
And surprise... She was happy with them.
Oh, my God.
Right? I thought it was like a bad gag gift that she wouldn't like, but she thought it was nice. Now, what did you draw, Mike?
I drew a new car.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm sorry. I drew the frumpy robe, and I presented the frumpy robe to my wife, and she was no surprise. I knew she'd like it. She really, it was one of those big, like, terry cloth numbers.
Right. Yeah.
That was really super large and oversized, and she was, as I expected she would be, delighted with it.
Good.
She loved that gift, and I got her some other gifts, too, including a brand new car! No, I got her a dog. I bought a dog for the whole family in addition to that, so that kind of, like, took away the pain of the frumpiness of the robe. But
yeah.
The dog, I'll tell you about the dog later.
Robbie, what did you draw?
Lingerie.
Did you give that
sexy lingerie.
Do you give that to Mr. Spiewak? I know you have a bad marriage. Did you spend a lot of time with your wife this weekend?
She set some time aside for me on Sunday. She had a lot of stuff to do. And
she had to go out on Valentine's Day with her friends, too?
Yeah, well, there was some stuff out of town and one event out of the country this weekend. But we did. Actually, I phoned her and described it. And she said it was very nice.
All right, so you gave Carrie the lingerie.
Actually, we had a lovely Valentine's Day together. And, guys, lingerie works.
Way to go.
That's three down and still no dildo.
Much cool. Needed. Let's get Christine Kerner and Charles Broyhill in here, please.
They were supposed to give their special someone something.
Mm-hmm. Now, what did Charlie Stossel draw? Does anybody know? Because
candy striped shorts.
All right, here's our producer, Charlie Broyhill. Hello, Charlie.
Charles. Hello.
Hi, what did you draw?
Disinterested, Charlie.
No, I was given Mr. Spiewak, Mr. Stossel's phone number.
Another one that you'd like to do.
What did you draw?
Roses.
And did you give them to a lady?
Kind of.
Oh, wait. Did you give them to Jim McClure?
No. No, I did not.
What does kind of mean? You gave them to a girl?
I put them on my grandmother's grave.
Oh, did you really?
Yes, I did.
All right. Always different, Charlie Brody.
How wonderfully, how beautifully pathetic and sad.
And here now is Christine Kerner. Please tell me that Christine drew the dildo. Did you draw the dildo, Christine?
I did not.
Oh, I know who got it, then.
No, it's down to two. It's either Buzz or Stossel.
Oh, that's right, Stossel.
Let me ask you, Christine, what did you draw?
I drew the iron.
Oh, the iron.
And who'd you give that to?
Give it to my mother.
Oh, to your mother. Did she like it?
Loved it.
Okay, good.
What a wonderfully exciting story that was.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Christine. You know, it would have been better if Charlie and Christine would have given the gifts like their boyfriends and girlfriends.
But both very sweet.
Except to their mothers and their dead grandmothers.
Very, very sweet.
All right, now, nice. We're down to two. Here is movie man Charlie Stossel, the mother chucker. Hey, Charlie.
Hello, gentlemen.
Now, Chuck, the tone of your voice tells me you might have drawn the old dildo.
Are you the dildo man?
Dildo.
Dildo.
I would like to say that I were, but I was not.
Oh no! Buzz is the dildo man.
Oh my God!
Just as it should be.
Oh wow, Charlie, what did you draw?
I got the always romantic ironing board.
The ironing board. Now, did you give that to your gal pal?
Yes, I did. I took it over to her. I had to decorate it though with some roses and some Hershey kisses just to make it look a little more presentable, and she gave me a card, which she wanted me to read to you. It said, roses are red, violets are blue. If you get me a dildo, I'll get one for you.
Oh!
That's nice.
P.S. I'm leaving you for another woman.
Thank you. No, I don't think that's happening soon, but thanks for the thought.
All right, so if you had been the one that had presented her with the dildo, she would have done the same.
Isn't that a gross thought?
Yeah.
All right, Chuck. See you Friday.
Bye, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Well, that means...
I'm a woman with a... I'm Charlie.
Oh, dear.
Buzz Burbank.
Hi.
You wanted to pick one? Yeah. Now, you know what? This was totally chance. I swear to God, this
was.
Although, you know, this was random. We all picked them totally at random.
Strange justice. Yeah, I actually drew the thing.
Now, did you take the tape recorder to the store when you bought the dildo?
I did.
Oh, we have the tape. Thank you, Rob.
You know, I can't think of anybody on the show that would have an easier time of purchasing and presenting it than you would, Buzz.
You would think, but for all my brave talk, I got a little nervous going into the store, and I really was sort of embarrassed. The store was, as you'll hear, very busy, filled with people the day before Valentine's Day, and all of a sudden I was very self-conscious about the fact that I'm the only customer in the store with a microphone.
Now, did you identify yourself as Guy Burnley from the Donna Mike Show?
I did. I figured if you're going to do it right, all the way with it, so I did.
Sure. Now, I see there's two parts of this tape. We have Buzz buying the dildo.
Right.
And then we actually have him presenting the dildo to your wife.
Right.
Oh, beautiful. And she had no clue that this was going on?
She had no clue.
Now, we're going to hear the tape of Buzz actually purchasing the product and also presenting it to his lovely wife.
To his wife. Now, remember, each of us drew a sealed envelope.
Right.
And the gifts ranged from lingerie to candy to roses to a curlers to an iron to a frumpy robe.
Right.
One person drew a dildo.
Dildo. And that person was me.
And now here is the tape of Buzz going into the adult store.
Very good.
To buy a dildo.
Hi. Hi. How are you?
Okay.
I'm Buzz from the Don and Mike Show. And I think Dawn was expecting me today. She helped me at Christmas.
There's two Dawns here. I'm one.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, Dawn. Hi. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it very much. I guess you know why I've come here today.
I do.
All right.
Listen to you. Now, what is you're talking? Is it because you're talking quietly, or is this your sexy talk?
No, I'm talking quietly because I'm nervous. There are other people in the store, and all of a sudden I'm very self-conscious.
Now, were you wired with the microphone, or were you holding the microphone?
No, it was the type of microphone you have to hold in your hand, so there was really no hiding.
The roving reporter, all right.
Now, you'd mentioned to this girl that you'd been in there prior.
Yes, I did.
When did you buy it?
You said, I'm looking for Dawn. She's the one that helped me at Christmas.
Right.
So you did this on you've been in there on your own at Christmas time?
I have been there before, yeah.
You buy your wife a dildo for Christmas?
No. No, that would not be fair to say.
You buy sexy lingerie?
No.
No, this is a dirty store that he went to, Mike.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you buy something dirty?
It's a store for adult playthings, and I did buy something there.
What did you buy? What did you buy for your wife for Christmas?
I'd really rather not.
Oh, come on.
Wow. Was it something that you can rub on?
No.
Was it something that you could insert?
Could, but maybe not.
Was it a kind of clamp?
No.
Clamp.
Was it? You immediately go right for the nipple clamps, don't you?
Like, watch
you
my just line.
You want to get those jumper cable nipple clamps, don't you, right away?
You know me so well.
Why hesitate? The real strong ones, too.
Was it a dog collar or something like that?
No, it wasn't a dog collar.
Leather mask.
No, not a mask.
Was it something that she would wear or something that you would wear?
Neither one, actually.
Is it something that could be used on both of you?
Is it a porno?
No.
It's not a tape or pornography of any kind.
Is the item made of plastic?
Perhaps a kind of plastic.
Would it have batteries? Would it need batteries?
No. Actually, no.
Oh, really?
Right.
Oh, now I'm confused. Could you use it by yourself?
Yeah, absolutely.
Could you use it in your car?
No.
Have you used it with your wife?
No, I can say no.
Does it come in a fancy carrying case?
Oh, Animal House. No. No, it doesn't.
Has she used it?
Yes, she has.
Has she used it on herself?
I would think so.
Does she use it on a regular basis?
I have no way of knowing that for sure.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like one of them handheld things?
Well,
look at me with the cock your head like the RCA dog, Buzz.
Is it a vibrator of some kind?
Yes, it is. Yeah,
it's a vibrator.
Yeah.
A vibrator.
A vibrator.
Oh, so you're just old Mr. Experience.
I had been there before, yeah.
Wow.
That's what it was.
Really?
Was it one of those little, shiny ones?
See, the old one wore out.
Oh, my God.
I had to get a new one.
Oh, wow. You're secure, man.
Well, I think so.
I would never buy my wife a vibrator. I'd never see her again.
When you bought your wife a vibrator, is it something that that she uses when you're around? Or is it exclusively when you're not around?
No, it both.
Both?
Oh, gross.
That's why.
Gross.
That's why.
Yeah.
She used that thing when you're there?
She has. Yeah, she has.
What do you do?
I have, there are other things I can help out with.
Well, hold on, I don't get that. He is just much more adventuresome and much more experimental in the bedroom than you and I are.
However, I would be very threatened to have a vibrator in my bedroom.
The difference is, I think you would be grossed out, where I kind of look at him and go, pretty cool. Cool that he does that kind of stuff.
I'm not threatened because, I can do things the vibrator can't do.
No, boy. How big was it?
It's about that big.
And is it the kind that's got like the bronze finish on it?
No. In fact, it's not even shaped like a dildo. It's more like it looks like what they used to sell at drugstores. They called a personal massager. It looks a little like that.
Okay.
It looks like.
All right, I understand.
And it plugs in, which is how I got past the battery.
And it broke. It was overused so much that it broke.
After many years of faithful service, it wore out. Yes.
Faithful service.
Getting back to when you do something and she's also you. Using that,
right?
Is it the same area that's being?
I can be in the same general area, or I can be in a different area.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to think about the other area he might be in.
Yes, he can.
Would you be in the bad area, the area I don't like?
I could be, but not necessarily. Probably not would be the right answer.
And the right answer would also be probably not.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Which means.
Yeah.
No. Well,
you're probably back there.
Like I said, no, we really haven't done that for years. Honestly, years since we've been back.
Don't get me one of those.
Wish I got
personal massager.
Yeah. But I would I would have rather had something like that. But the card, if you drew the card, you had to get a replica of the male appendage.
Right.
Dildo.
Very specific.
All right. Well, this is a fascinating glimpse into the bedroom of Mr. Buzz Burbank.
He's such an experimenter.
Let's go back now to the audio tape of Buzz buying the Valentine dildo.
All right.
Here we go.
I'm looking for a really big dildo. So if you can help me out with that, that would be great.
That'd be great.
Are you doing a big business today, the day before Valentine's Day? Well, let's keep it under $50, but let's see what we have here.
You want real?
What do you mean, real?
Like the emperor here?
Yo, realistic. Yeah.
The emperor?
Like from a real person?
Oh, no.
I see.
Those are in the jars in the bathroom.
I see.
Oh, in the jars. Oh, gross.
We can do something else with it?
Okay, that's...
Hold, stop the tape. I have a question I must ask at this point. The lady that's waiting on you,
mm-hmm.
Who was the celebrity she most resembled?
Oh, very attractive. Man, I'm going to need a minute to think of the
She's
celebrity.
A hottie, though? She's semi-hottie?
Yeah, I thought so.
Really?
She was very, very attractive.
You know how I could tell? First of all, the way she sounds, but also the way you're connecting.
Yeah, the way
yourself.
You're reacting with her.
Yeah. Actually, there were at least two very lovely ladies working in the store when I got there. And this is Dawn. I believe she's the manager, and she was very good-looking and very nice and very helpful.
Cool. At any point, did you look at the dildos in the jars?
No, she, that was a joke. See, when she said real,
she meant like in formaldehyde back there.
Yeah. I know. So, no,
okay. I don't know what goes on in these stores, Mike.
She was just kidding, Don. I think.
Okay.
She was just making a joke.
Okay. Yeah. Good joke. Funny joke. I get jokes.
I know you do.
Where we have the czar.
Or the czar.
I think
that's what we're looking for. The czar, probably. Yeah. Yeah, we want something really big. This is a special gift for a special lady.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was in here at Christmas. I don't know if you remember. Yeah.
We were, again, swamped.
Yeah, of course. Another busy time for you.
Suction cup.
Now, what is that for? What is it? How does that come in handy?
The side of the bathtub.
I see.
Oh, what's that? Suction cup, she said?
Oh, the side of the bathtub. Oh!
That's what she said.
Oh, mounted on the side of the bathtub. God.
Gross. No. Gross.
The refrigerator. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Anywhere you feel like putting it.
Oh, all right. Well,
the wall.
Yeah, I guess that's the idea.
The wall.
Do you have anything that would glow in the dark?
I do, but that's a vibrator.
Oh, I just thought that would be really handy in a power failure. But,
Absolutely.
No, I think
no, he's checking.
This would be fine. Now, how much does the czar go for?
Well, the czar typically goes for $79.95, but I called you guys and offered you,
Oh, that's very nice.
Discount, so we'll keep it within your price range.
Oh, that's wonderful. I appreciate that.
Hey, you get a lot of dildo for your money.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Too bad you couldn't get the bazaar.
Bizarro. Me want dildo.
Unfortunately, no. You got to kind of wing it.
What about a warranty? Is there a warranty on it?
No. Unfortunately not.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll try this then.
Okay.
It certainly looks special.
You see, it's even got the colored veins and everything.
Oh, that's...
Buzz.
Jesus Christ.
And Buzz, that's the way you purchase everything, isn't it? With that same demeanor, like cars,
yes,
appliances, that's the way you purchase it. Well, exactly. I guess that's what we'll take.
Try to remain in control.
There you go. Fine. Right.
That's a nice touch.
Do you want any whips to go along with
it? Not today, but, I'll be back.
Okay.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay, let's wrap this up.
She likes you, Buzz.
Let's do cash for this, okay, please. Thank you. Now, we're pretty sure that somebody didn't, wash this and return it or anything, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. There's probably health department regulations about
definitely.
That.
Oh, definitely. But that's sure. Another special section we have in the back.
I see. This is, really the most romantic gift I could think of.
You've made a friend here, Buzz.
Absolutely.
This is Dawn that we're talking to?
I like Dawn very much, yes. Attractive and very nice.
Now, when you mentioned this thing hasn't been washed and returned, mm-hmm. was it exposed to the elements or was it wrapped in plastic?
No, it was wrapped, but, you can't be too careful. I thought I should ask, at least.
So it was shrink-wrapped in a, in an ad like this?
Did it look used?
No, I just wanted to be careful, just wanted to be sure.
Is it dusty at all?
No, no, okay. It was wrapped. You'll see the packaging shortly.
Very good. All right.
Hey, it works.
That's like a personal endorsement, then.
4703, sir.
Worth every penny of it.
Hey, he didn't answer you when he said that personal endorsement. You were hoping for that.
Yes, I did use it. Nice discount, Buzz.
It's a business expense.
Sound of the cash register.
Okay. 48, 49.
Did you pay all in quarters?
No. Actual paper money.
And I did hear actually a little of your, huh? Yeah.
Just a little bit of it in there.
Right there, right as you were getting your money. Huh?
Yeah.
Just a little.
Yeah.
Oh, it's very nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you your receipt. And
okay.
There's a coupon on here for you. There's 10% off your next purchase.
Oh, yeah, that's wonderful. I'll have to photocopy that, I guess, for the government.
Huh.
I just have to make sure the cat doesn't get a hold of this. Don at Night Dreams, thank you very much.
Take care.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you.
That's it.
All right, that's so part smooth. One.
Was he not the smoothest of all of us? I mean, if any...
Much better than if you or I had to go in and do that.
Oh, it would have been, it just would have been ugly.
It was scary. My heart was beating like a bunny. I was more nervous than I expected it to be.
Well, it didn't show, and I don't think Dawn saw it either.
Good. I tried to hide it from her, because...
she loved you.
She was nice.
Here now is Sunday morning... Valentine's Day. Buzz presenting the dildo to his wife.
Very good.
Here we go.
Well, happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
I don't normally have a microphone out when we do Valentine's Day gifts.
That's
so
true.
Something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
This is for the show.
Okay.
And we did kind of a Secret Santa thing.
Okay.
And this is the gift that I drew for you.
Oh, okay.
And I hope you enjoy it.
She'll be unfazed.
Oh, listen to her. Oh, okay.
If we're taking bets here, okay, I know this woman will be completely, complete. You won't get a, oh, my God.
As a matter of fact, I'll bet you say, how did you know?
Yeah.
That's she'll just say what I wanted.
Like, she'll say something like that.
Oh, Vaney, how did you know?
She's as cool as he is. That's my prediction.
Okay, thanks. Can I open it?
Sure. Please do.
Did somebody else buy the gift? No, you just pulled out a number like to see. Oh my
How about the
God,
gift?
What is this?
Oh, no.
It's even named.
Open it, come on.
The Czar. Oh,
not
phased. God. 12 inches.
Buzz is holding up the box.
Oh, look at this.
Here it is. This is what she's just discovered.
The Czar. And look at the logo on the box. Got a little king crown on top of it.
Look at that. The Czar.
The Czar.
Oh, my God.
That's a suction cup. What does that mean?
I don't know. It's something about the bathtub. I'm not sure.
Oh, my God. Well, if I got this, what did other people get?
Somebody got an iron and an ironing board.
Oh, look at this thing. It weighs, I don't know, 5 pounds, 10 pounds?
Oh, Buzz, put it away. I don't want to see it, Buzz. Put it away. Why do you have to bring it in?
10 pounds. Well, I thought you wanted to see what
yeah,
I
Yeah, bring it in here. Bring it in here. I'd like to look at it.
Bring it in during the commercial set. I don't want to see that.
Okay. Oh, come on. Let him bring it in. Let him bring it in.
I don't want to see it, Mike. I don't want to see it. Don't let me look at it.
Well, anyway, now you know how it was wrapped.
Just hold it up one more time, will you? There it is.
Yeah.
Hey, you like that, huh?
I like looking at your reaction.
Oh. He's got it stuck to his cabinet now.
There you go.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy.
Okay. That's funny.
Out of its box and out of its bag here.
I don't know. I think this puts John Holmes to shame.
See, she's just plain dirty good. Birdie, just like you are.
So, happy Valentine's Day.
Well, thank you.
You're not offended.
Oh, no.
Certainly not. Not at all.
I'm not sure what I'm going to do with it.
Yeah, it's a little large, isn't it?
You know. It's not the thing you set around on the table for people to admire.
It'll make a nice dinner a centerpiece when Don and Frieda come over.
Oh, that'll be perfect.
If you bring that out, I'm not coming to your house.
Oh, wow.
Do not bring that out when I come to your house.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, oh, there she is. She took it with the spirit to which it was given.
I think so to speak.
Wow. Well, you're a good man, Buzz.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Good man. All I can say after listening to that and seeing that thing is I'm glad it was you instead of me.
Me too.
Yeah, I wouldn't have wanted to go through that exercise.
I think Buzz was the one who turned out to be the most comfortable, but who I would have guessed to be the most comfortable with that assignment also.
Absolutely, and you could tell. I mean, and your wife, unfazed. You were unfazed. The whole thing, cool as a cucumber.
I was really hoping I would draw it.
And I do mean cucumber.
It was... it was completely random, and I got lucky. I actually drew it.
Wow.
Perfect. Congratulations, Buzz.
Thank you.
And I guess you'll go down and see your friend Don there probably for, what, St. Patrick's Day, 4th of July, Labor Day, everything.
All the major holidays.
There
sure.
you go.
Well, there you go. There's the end of the Valentine's Dildo Contest.
Way to go, Buzz.
And the big winners are Buzz and Marcia Burbank.
That's right. And the Czar.
Aren't they marvelous?
Here they are right here.
Right there. Hold on now. Buzz?
Yes.
Very quickly, here is your girl that sold you the Czar. Let's welcome Dawn, everybody, from the porno store.
Hey, Dawn.
Hi, Dawn. How are you?
Doing very well. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good. Hello, Dawn. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Dawn.
Hi, baby.
Hey, baby. So you enjoyed selling that to Buzz, didn't you?
Oh, well, Buzz was a pleasure to work with. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. As were you, Dawn. Thank you
very much. I appreciate that.
You know, it sounded to me as I was listening to the tape that there was some sort of chemical energy between the two of you. Were you aware of anything like that, Dawn?
See, I think that Buzz and I just both have electric personalities. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Sure you do.
A little spark there.
You're lovely lady, Dawn.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
He especially enjoyed the tip about the suction cup on the end of it.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the best sellers of the Czars, but it does have the suction cup, put it on the bathtub, as Buzz said, the side of the refrigerator, the wall.
Well, did you notice that he got particularly riled up when you brought up that suction cup?
he did very well at maintaining his reserve.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever have anybody as you're showing them those products that maybe makes you feel uncomfortable because they are simply too excited with the process of picking out the products?
Well, you know, we kind of have that doctor-patient relationship.
Okay. Confidentiality.
Mm, that's good. Cool.
You know?
Yeah, a professional distance.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, listen, call us the next time that Buzz comes in to buy some more of his sexual play toys. And call us and rat him out to us about what he's buying.
You got it.
Okay. Thank you, Dawn.
Bye, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Just Hello. Like Dr. Patient.
Dawn and Mike Show.
Very nice.
Cough. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Gina. How are you doing?
Hi, Gina.
I knew you'd go there. This is the first time I've ever called you. I had to call you, Don, because I was really surprised that you reacted the way you did to Buzz's gift.
Why? What do you mean? That grosses me out, honey.
I was really surprised. I'm real proud of you, Buzz. I think you did a great job.
Well, thank
keeping
you.
The spice in his love life.
Sure. Oh, I'm much too insecure to ever want to bring one of those things into my bedroom.
Well, I'd try sometime. Maybe Frida would be appreciative.
Honey, I think there's a big difference between your simple vibrating device and bringing the czar into the bedroom.
Right.
I think most men might feel a little uncomfortable.
I like the vibrator I got in my pants right now. That's the only vibrator we're going to bring into our bedroom. This thing is fuggly. You should see this thing that Buzz brought in.
Now, what would you do if you were engaged in gymnastics and the vibrator was produced not by you, but as a surprise by your wife?
The lead would come out of the pencil.
You would just that completely would be, say, forget about it.
Yes. Well, absolutely, I would.
Let me say this. Because my assignment was to buy a really big dildo, this one is actually a little larger than would be practical around my house.
Oh, well, good. So what, Buzz? Like maybe a nice 6 or 7 inch?
So because it's never been used before,
right?
I thought, you know, if you'd like, we could give it away.
No, you just...
All right.
You hold on. No, but if you'd like to give that to me, I'll hang it out of the grill of my car for my drive home.
Perfect. I'll take that.
Oh, yeah, like somebody did the mic one time. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Gina.
All right.
Gina.
Vagina.
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Yep. All right, there was another woman there wanting to sing your praises, Buzz, but she couldn't wait.
And I would like to point out to our listening audience that the lack of comfort on Don, really, anytime that thing is around, you just start twisting around.
I don't like looking at that, Mike.
It's almost as real as the czar itself.
I don't like that at all.
It makes you very uncomfortable.
This show has sure gone crazy. Sure has. Okay, time out, and then we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I miss you.
Yeah, you should. You never come see me.
I've been busy.
Everybody's busy. And don't lie to me. I know your father forbids your coming down here.
He doesn't, honest. He just doesn't want us to talk about you in the house.
Well, you can go shit in his hat. Oh, I shouldn't use that kind of talk. Don't let me ever catch you talking that way.
The Don and Mike Show.
Put it this way. The other night, you know what spooning is, don't you?
I think so.
Spooning?
Yeah.
Well, he was like whispering, holding me and whispering.
Spoon, sleeping spoon.
Yeah, sleeping like spoon stuff. Yeah. Cuddling in bed. Is that what we're talking about?
Right. And we're just about to fall asleep, I thought. And he says, I don't want to fall asleep. And so I say, why not? And he says, because then I'll miss you.
They live by the ass and die by the ass. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
My midnight crisis is officially open.
Oh, congratulations.
That's right. I traded in my penis-like sports car.
I remember that that car was a great source of controversy.
Yes, and I bought a Volvo.
You don't get any more conservative than that.
Wow.
So. My old maid aunt used to drive a Volvo.
Just wanted to mention that my penis extension is now out of my life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm driving a Volvo. Well, I'm not actually driving it yet. This is a pisser.
Right.
You go in, you buy the car, right? Has this ever happened to anybody? You go in, you get the car, you agree on a deal,
mm-hmm.
you give them your old car.
Yes. Right.
I give up my, midlife crisis car.
Mm-hmm.
They give me the car, the new car. I drive it home. As soon as I'm driving it,
right.
I notice... There's a light that goes on that says check engine. So I turn around and I take it back.
Mm-hmm.
I take it back and they go, oh, you know what? There's a problem with the in-car computer that you better drop it off and we'll have it for you later.
Gee, that didn't take very long.
I said, okay,
listen.
No problem.
Yeah, I mean, the moment of excitement is kind of quashed by that.
It's gone. I mean, the new car smell will be gone by the time I get the car.
You're going to have mechanic smell.
So then I call them up today and I go, hey, I've been waiting all weekend.
Right.
Ready for that car. Ready for the drive into work. Mm-hmm. The guy says to me today, oh, you know what? It needed a part. And it needs a part that we had to overnight.
Yeah, because there's no such thing at a car dealership as having the part in stock. It doesn't happen.
I know that they were looking for a plug today, and they're all probably listening right now at the car dealership.
Uh-huh.
And I would have given them a nice plug.
If you had your car.
If I had had the car to drive today.
Sure.
But I don't have the car to drive today, so I don't feel like giving them a nice plug.
I don't blame you.
And besides, I mean, although they were very nice at this place that we bought the car,
uh-huh.
And they gave us a real nice deal.
Good. Yep.
When I met the people in the dealership on Saturday, like mm-hmm. the sales manager and some of the other salespeople, mm-hmm. you know, I got that whole thing because of our show. And I'm sure you get this too, Mike, when you go out with somebody meet you and they're like standoffish with you. And one of the guys comes up and says, hey, he shakes my hand. I think, finally, I got a fan because everybody else is like standoffish with me.
Yeah, it's much better. And, you know, the simple modus operandi is to go to the corner of the dealership and stare.
They go, oh, you're on 106.7, right?
Yeah, like they don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's just that moment of awkward silence. One guy comes over and he goes, hey, shakes my hand. Hey, I've tried to call you up. And I think finally got a hand. He says, yeah, I really wanted to cuss you out one day.
Oh, God.
Okay. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks so much. A pleasure to be doing business with you.
Thank you, buddy. So,
thank you.
Listen, I'll get the car eventually, but the midlife crisis is officially over. Second thing I want to tell you about is maybe this is a sign from God.
Yes.
You know that I hadn't been to church. In about 5 months, we kind of gotten out of the habit of going to church.
Right.
So one of our things for Lent was that we were going to, you know, get back into the swing of going to church.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to church this weekend, and guess who I sit in two rows behind?
Who?
Ken Starr.
Oh, my God.
Tell you this, it made church a lot more interesting for me.
I'll bet.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I didn't so much focus on what was being said.
Did you go to the goofy church?
Yeah. I went to the goofy church.
That's where you go.
I went to the goofy church.
How was the goofy church?
Kind of goofy.
It sounds interesting, though.
Kinda,
a lot of people go there.
Kind
of
goofy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I made a deal with my family about
that. Right.
That, oh, I don't really want to talk about all this on the air, all the problems I had at the other church that I went to.
Right, right.
That, well, suffice to say, the church that I used to go to.
Right.
Okay.
When I got in trouble, when I got arrested.
Mm-hmm. When you might need, like, the church to help you out,
yeah,
support.
That church said to me in more than a roundabout way, why don't you keep a low profile now? And that, you know, that kind of hurt my feelings.
It all came at a time when you probably didn't need that.
Right, but I don't want to bring that up here. So that's why we stopped going to that church, because they, you know.
Well, I made that connection because somebody had said to me that they go to that church and they'd seen Ken Starr there.
It was a trial. There are a lot of different churches we're going to go to. We're going to find a new church, and this was one of the churches that I promised my family I would try to go to, this Jim and Tammy Faye Baker church.
Sure.
And one thing that made it kind of interesting for me was that I spent the whole hour
staring, giving him a dirty look.
Looking at the back of his head. I was thinking, this is the guy that's busting Clinton's balls.
Right?
Yeah, good Christian.
This is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you know, should I say something to him? Like, on the way out, you know, because you got that thing where you go, like, good day to you, and, you know.
Right. Yeah, peace be with you, right?
Walk up and shake hands, go, hey, I'm a shock jock. And you're the guy that's busting Clinton's balls. But here we are in church together.
Isn't life grand? I hear they have some pretty good music there.
Oh, they have a killer sound system. I mean, I'm not kidding.
Right.
This church that I went to, just a trial, mind you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Killer sound system, like going to a show at US Air Arena.
Right.
I mean,
a lot of people there, too, huh?
Oh, like going to a rock concert.
I mean, I've heard people rave about it.
Took us an hour to get in, us an hour to get out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
I do go to that church, I got to go to a much earlier service.
Right. How long is the total time commitment?
About an hour.
Oh, that's all right.
About the same as going to a regular church.
Not a lot of the ritual, too, right? A lot more preaching?
Yeah, no communion.
Cool.
That's one thing I didn't dig. No, I like going up every
week. You like getting the post.
I like getting my my piece of bread and my blood.
Mm-hmm.
I like, you know, being as one with the J-Man.
Well, that's the Catholic thing from two religions ago.
That's
that
right.
And I speak from experience, too. Once they ingrain
you
in
that. Out two religions ago. I'm on my third religion now. I think the goofy church, though, is kind of a church that's... I'm still an Episcopalian.
Right.
I'm still a card-carrying Episcopalian.
Of course.
I just got upset with the last church that I was going
to. And I think that, you know, you get ingrained with certain rituals,
And once you do that, you kind of, it's a comfort zone, and that's going all the way back to the Catholics too. And that's one of the things you liked about the Episcopals, is that they, you know, they worked in all that Catholic stuff.
Going to an Episcopal church is like going to Catholic church, except without all the bull ass.
Right, exactly. It was a lot less of the ritual. But
all the prayers were like cut in quarter.
Mm-hmm.
All the time that you have to sing and stuff was like cut in a quarter.
Now, see, the one I go to, but I only go once a year at Christmas. I will tell you, and maybe it's because it is a Christmas.
That's
service.
When they junk it up for Christmas, when they put in all the super religious stuff.
Well, they put the hymns that, you know, I was never used to singing all the verses.
Oh.
In some cases, all five verses of the hymn.
Oh.
And every hymn, they sing all five verses.
That
and
had
by
to
the
be.
End, I'm just going.
That had to just be for Christmas.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
It was a special deal for Christmas where they pull out all the stops.
So you liked the experience. The, outside of getting Ken Starr out of the equation.
That was the big highlight for me, was sitting two rows behind Ken Starr.
I would think sitting two rows behind him, even though you were in a place of worship, you would feel the presence of some sort of Satan.
I did.
Yeah, it was okay. But like I said, we're going to go to pretty much a different church every week until we find a church that we as a family can all agree that we like.
Well, I admire you for doing that.
It might end up being this goofy church that we went to last week, or it might be the one that we're going to next week.
Are you going to explore any of the Eastern religions?
No. No, listen, it's going to
I know your wife has been very interested in some spiritual aspects.
Christ, she even went to a Quaker church one time where she said, all you do is sit around and don't say anything for an hour.
Oh, really? Meditation.
She
liked that, though.
Yeah. Oh, I couldn't picture going to that.
I am so totally open-minded right now. I've never been, but then again, Sunday comes rolling around and we're getting close to spring.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one religion that I have, and it's in a leather bag in my garage.
Yeah, right.
But I'm totally open-minded. I mean, all the way open-minded about stuff like that. I guess that's why people end up like in cults. Because when they're looking for something, that's when you're vulnerable. And if you find something that all of a sudden is brand new, you know, you end up on some island drinking Kool-Aid.
Well, you know, I have very distinct ideas about God and about Jesus anyway that I've kind of articulated anyway on
this
show.
Yeah, you shared those on Friday. They were terrifying.
No, just what I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that God is all loving to everybody, bad people, good people, in between people. So when you're on this earth, you can act any way you want and do anything you want, but it doesn't matter. You still got a blank check to get into the next area. Now, what you try to do is live your life kind of good, you know, just so it's for yourself. You're not doing it, like, for God. I definitely don't.
And I'm bringing, you know, even though I'm not a practicing person like you are, I'm bringing a lot of that guilt from the Catholicism right into this show each and every week.
I definitely don't believe all this crap about, like, someone is up there keeping score and going, oh, well, look at that. You said, you know, goddamn, that's another check. You're going to hell. I definitely do not believe that.
Right. Yeah.
Because we have free will to say whatever we want. If God didn't want us to say goddamn, God wouldn't have given us the chance to say goddamn.
Well, you never hear it, but when you do say that, when you say the GD thing,
goddamn.
When you say that, you know, every single time, you never hear me say it, but under my breath, see, listeners can't hear because I do it off mic, too, but if I was to do it on mic, it would be, you'd say,
goddamn.
And I go, sorry. Real quick. You didn't hear it?
No.
Do it.
Goddamn. Goddamn.
Let me turn your microphone up.
Goddamn.
He's sorry.
Did you say I'm sorry?
He's sorry.
He's sorry.
I'm not sorry.
Stop it. You're going to ruin everything.
God has a sense of humor,
You're
man.
You're going to ruin everything.
I mean that. God has a total sense of humor.
Well, God has a total sense of humor.
I really believe that.
You're right.
I really believe. He's up there laughing every time I say goddamn. He goes, see, there. You know what God says? There's a guy that gets it.
God made Carrot Top. He's got a sense of humor.
There's a guy that
marvelous.
Gets it. All right, listen, enough about a church.
He made Carrot Chop, he made Jerry Lewis, he made all those. He made serious people that are funny, even though they're trying to be serious.
And they're all going to heaven. Even a guy like Carrot Top, who's never entertained anybody in his life, he's going to heaven. So's Gallagher. Oh,
but, you know, God. What I'm curious, if all the bad people are going to heaven, like, my idea of heaven is when you get up to heaven, that there are all these people there that you, my real idea of heaven is that when you get to heaven, you see the people that you've missed, and that you're reunited. That's my idea of heaven. Mm-hmm. You've got all these real crappy people there.
No, but
you won't have to see them, right? I won't have to see people that I hate in heaven.
No, you don't. But like, Saddam Hussein, he's got a mom, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So Saddam Hussein, you know,
I think he killed his mom, though.
Who knows? He'd still go to heaven, in my humble opinion.
But he probably wouldn't see her.
I'm not saying that
he'd be mad at him.
I think he'd see her. I really believe that in my heart.
If he wanted to.
Yeah, sure. Maybe he doesn't want to see her.
If he didn't want to, he probably wouldn't.
So then you don't believe in hell.
No, I don't. I definitely do not believe in hell.
Hell would be empty under your plan.
There is no hell, Buzz.
Right.
Well, working here is hell. I think working for Westwood One is hell.
I don't know if there's hell per se. I think there's a big waiting room.
Mm-hmm.
Big waiting room where everybody's kind of cooling their heels, and it's like
I don't buy that either. No, trust
me. It's like Westwood One.
Nobody's keeping score.
And I am not going to trust you.
Nobody.
I'm not going to trust you on religion.
You wait until we die.
I'll trust you on everything, but
you wait until we die.
You on religion.
Just wait until we die. When we're up there, I will have the supreme last laugh, and you will look at me and you say, "You know what, buddy? You were right."
I don't know where you get all the answers.
You were right.
I don't know who you're talking to, where you're getting all the answers, but it must be an incredibly good feeling to get all the answers to have everything.
Someone is up there keeping score and
you know what the one thing I'm sure about? I am sure that I have no clue, and I'm just trying to figure it out as best I can. I don't think anybody has the answers.
I'm not busting your balls.
I don't think anybody has the answers.
I know. I'm sure. That I know. I mean, I swear to God, no pun intended. I'm not busting your balls. I'm not just trying to get an argument with you.
Yes, yes.
I really believe this. This is the way that it is. Go ahead.
That's good.
Live it up.
Well, that's
have fun. Everybody's going to heaven.
Well, see, there are a lot of people that are just as sure as you are and are saying, you know, a lot of different things.
They're wrong. What do you want me to say? They're totally wrong. I'm totally right.
I think my religious beliefs are kind of like based on a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there's a powerful being who is a very forgiving God. And I will meet you a certain part of the way. I think that there is some kind of atonement for everything we do on this planet.
And I don't even know if I buy all this all religion stuff, to be honest with you, because the people that are preaching us the religion,
mm-hmm.
they're all just regular guys.
Yes, they are.
I mean,
that's
like
right.
What I say about
they're
the Pope.
People, too.
What
that's
I say
right.
about the Pope all the time,
mm-hmm.
they're just people that put on Star Trek uniforms
mm-hmm.
to a certain extent.
That's right.
And because they go to some school and because they don't bone anybody, like in the Catholic Church, because they don't have sex, they become a priest.
Some of some of the worst people in history that have oppressed their fellow man and tortured and maimed and mutilated
wars.
Have done so in the name of religion and have been very powerful religious. You know, let me point out, the Spanish Inquisition.
I mean, you know,
a lot of people have been hurt over religion over
right.
the years.
Oh, yeah.
But religion is what you really think. And what I think is what I just said, that everybody's cool and, you know, God's got no problem with me saying, God damn, God's got no problem with me wishing someone that calls our show and makes an ass out of themselves, wishing them dead. He's got no problem with that. Trust me. Trust me on that, Mike. I'm positive I'm right about that.
Trust me. Trust.
Positive I'm right.
Trust me. That's, you know, the only time I don't
see
trust
see you in
people.
Heaven.
You know, the only time I don't trust people is when they say, trust me. and that goes from anybody selling me anything. You know, if a guy's like, even if I'm buying a piece of computer software. And the
I'm
guy
not
goes,
selling.
Trust me. The nice thing about living where we live is that everybody can have their own ideas, and that's mm-hmm. what's good about it.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, even if you're a guy like Mike that doesn't go to church a lot,
mm-hmm.
you know, I know sometimes you feel guilty about that because of our Catholic upbringing and everything.
Yes. I feel guilty about everything.
Well, you should. You really shouldn't, because it doesn't matter, Dick, if you go to church. You don't. You go to church if you feel like it. You go to church if you don't. Don't worry about it, man.
If I give up my guilt, you know what? You're gonna have a little piece of dust over here. I mean, that's who I am. The guilt has been so ingrained in my fiber of my being. It's the Catholic guilt. I could seriously convert to any religion in the world. I could walk around, like, have my head shaved, wear an orange robe, and set myself on fire. But that Catholic guilt would still be deep inside. And, you know, it was not just my family that did it. It's the priest that I sat down at dinner with every mm-hmm. Sunday. It's the nuns, it's everything, man. It's
screw them.
Guilt, guilt, guilt.
Screw them. I went to Catholic school. My brother and I were kicked out of Catholic school when we were little kids. I swear to God we were.
I know.
We were.
Oh, it's great. It's great. It still gives me the heebie-jeebies after. You say
nuns
things.
Are just women. Priests are just men. Mm-hmm. Nuns have boobs about sex.
Now you're professing your ignorance. If you say they have breasts and vaginas, you didn't go to some of the places I went.
Listen, they think about sex.
Mm-hmm.
They poop. When they poop, it smells bad. When someone cuts them off in traffic, they give them the finger. Cuts them off in traffic, they give them the finger. They're just like us. They just.
I'm not
costumes.
Afraid of the nuns. I'm afraid of what the nuns were telling me all those years. You know, all those. You know, the greatest thing that they did, and this, I don't think they do this anymore to kids when you're getting your first Holy Communion, and they used to say it's a sin
If you chew the wafer. Do you remember that one?
I heard that.
Do you remember how hard that was?
I heard that in CCD class.
Oh, my God.
And I'll tell you another thing I did. I swear to God.
What?
The first time a nun told me that,
mm-hmm.
it chewed it.
No!
Now, I didn't do it in front of her, so as like to flaunt it, but right. I chewed it to see what would happen. Like to see if like my head would explode
like
or something.
Your tongue would swell up. I mean, in certain classes, I think way, way back, they would actually say, you know, you're actually, you'll choke if
okay.
you chew the
I'll
wafer.
I'll give you another one.
Yeah.
I had to go to confession.
Please
give me another outdated,
mm-hmm.
Totally farcical. Go to confession. Hey, high priest, how you doing? Yeah, I was a real bad guy. I punched my brother in the nose and I cheated on a history test this week. Okay, 5 Hail Marys.
Right.
You know what I would do? I would sit on the pew and I go la 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 la. I'd look around. I'd tie my shoes. Didn't say one prayer. Didn't say a prayer. I swear to God. I want to see what would happen. Nothing happened.
Living on the edge.
It's a big ritual, man. It's a big ritual. Come on. It all gets back to that thing about checks and balances. Please, really. Because I cheated on a...
Say the prayer.
Because I cheated on a history test in 7th grade. Some guy's going to give me absolution. I got to say a prayer 5 times and God's going to... I've fought this since I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
These things that I'm saying now, I fought them... I swore to God since I was a little kid. Ridiculous. Don't chew the wafer.
Remember that one?
Don't chew the wafer. I chew the wafer every time. Ever since I was a kid in CCD class, I chew the wafer.
Well, I think they let you chew the wafer now.
Yeah, they had waived wafer chewing by the time I got to CCD.
Yeah, you're that age.
They
right?
said it's preferred not to because it doesn't look good. But chew it if you have
what
to.
What they ought to do is when you're drinking the community wine, that's you ought to be careful on that
you
one.
Know what
fecal matter. Especially when you hear the coughing.
Matter. Yeah.
You know, you hear that tuberculosis that you got happening in church.
And they do that thing where they just take like an old snot rag and they wipe off the side of the jug and you pass from person to person. That's not very sanitary.
Right. Yeah, and especially when the lady that's in the Episcopal service is assisting the priest and walking along going, okay.
Oh. Here you are. Here's your wine. You know what people think about that, really? I'm sure people rationalize that by thinking, well, God will clean up those germs because she's working for God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, come on.
No.
Please. You're going to get the galloping goobies.
The creeping crud.
Yeah, the creeping crud. Thank you, Mike. That's
wash your hands when you come in from any service. I think that's smart.
Please.
Especially if you're doing a lot of that handshaking. Wash your hands when you get home from the service.
Well, anyway, that's how I feel about religion.
Well, you're at peace with that. You're happy with your certainty about how you feel.
I'm totally happy with it. And if I'm wrong, hey, I'll see you in hell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
Not worried about it in the least.
That's the best thing of all, probably.
What?
That you're not worried about it. That you can, live day to day without worrying about it.
Oh, you're worried. You're probably more worried than Mike is. You just keep it all bottled up inside.
No, I think so, Buzz. No, I think Mike's more worried than I am.
No, I think you're more worried than Mike. I think Mike is open about his worries.
Let me tell you something right
about
now.
About his worries, his worriedness.
Mm-hmm. I'm worried when I get into my car every day. I'm worried. I live in a state of constant worry. Every day of my life, guilt and worry. Now, I might come in here and talk a good game, but let me tell you something right now. If I don't get guilty and worry, that's who I am. I would be very uncomfortable if I wasn't filled with guilt and worry every single day of the week. Guilt and worry are two good things. They're wonderful. They give me strength. They give me strength to come in here and make it into work and to pay my bills on time.
See, that's why I was always late paying my bills.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I had such bad credit.
I've got stellar credit. Fantastic credit.
Here's the hotline. I bet this is my wife. Hello.
Hi, Boo.
Honey.
I wanted to tell Mike something.
Yes.
You know, you don't worry because you're Catholic.
According to the
past life regressionist?
Yes, why am I worried?
Oh, honey, don't bring that up.
Are you saying that I did something awful in my past life?
Exactly. That's what she told my sister, who's not Catholic, who always feels guilty and is always apologizing. And it comes from a past life where you were bad, you did something that you didn't ever resolve, and you feel guilty about it.
Well, I've done an awful lot of bad things in this life, so, give me a little credit for that. I don't need any past life regressions.
I don't need any past... in the next life, then.
So this means I'll be a warrior in the next life,
too.
Bummer.
All right, honey.
All right, boo-boo.
Love you. Oh, listen, as long as you're on the line, I'd like to say something publicly.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody listening to the show who might see my wife in carpool or in her yoga class or anything, I do not beat my wife.
Oh, really?
I do not beat my wife.
Fine.
She has a giant neck brace on today.
What happened?
Oh, my God.
Well, she fell down the stairs. She just wouldn't listen. That's what happened. She's a much better listener now.
Oh, my God.
No, our doctor, who is our pal and who knows you, thought that maybe you were a little too vigorous in the nighttime.
Well, that'd be pretty incredible, wouldn't it?
Happen.
Yeah. So,
I bet that could happen.
She had the bad flu. on Saturday and Sunday, very sick and very achy. And then,
what does the doctor say? Your vertebrae are too close or something?
It's I'm aging, believe it or not.
No.
And I just, you know, slept on my neck wrong. And he prescribed many massages, and so I was grateful.
Oh, mini massage.
Not many.
Oh.
I'm getting one today, one tomorrow, and that was the prescription.
Hey, my magic fingers worked for you this week, didn't they?
Your magic fingers were Gestapo in their last life. Now, they do the trick. They're wonderful. They rub away the bumps, but it is no pleasurable experience.
My wife's got these bumps under her skin, like in her back, where when I rub my wife's back, little knots in the muscle.
Yeah, they're
I can
knots.
Feel like little...
Yeah, they're not bumps. It's not like she's the elephant. She's got knots in her muscles. She doesn't have hideous bumps underneath
the bumps.
Tumorous, fibrous tumors underneath her skin. I am not an animal.
Well, if I did have him, he could rub them away. He uses the brute strength.
Yeah, I do a pretty good job to get my wife in line.
That's Swedish, right? Deep tissue? Or,
I believe so, yes.
Or shiatsu deep tissue? I don't know.
I don't know, but it's just...
Shiatsu. That's like shiatsu. A dirty word, Mike. Shiatsu. Spelled like S-H-I. Shiatsu.
Same muscles when I say, can you open this jar and you see the grimace on a man's face?
Mm-hmm.
That's the muscles that are used when I have little knots in my back.
That makes me feel like such a man. I did that yesterday for my wife. When she brings me a jar, would you open this, please?
Right.
I go, yeah, sure. Watch this, honey.
Love that.
Feel like that. Yeah, I'm your man. All right, honey, love you.
All right, goodbye, love you.
Love you.
Goodbye. I do not beat her.
But she has a neck collar on.
Wow. She could kick the crap out of you.
Yeah. Ever. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
She'll give you one for...
I gotta do a break here, and we'll be right back.
Infinity Broadcasting, WJFK FM, and this is Washington, D.C. 106.7 WJFK. WJFK interrupts our regularly scheduled programming for Infinity Radio Connect, a special live interview with Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld on 106.7 WJFK. Don and Mike Show.
Wacky morning zoo style fun.
Incredible journey it was for her, but the bottom line, you better believe that Oprah's bean counters are looking at the bottom line to see how that movie does at the box office.
Yeah, but you owe Oprah an apology already. I don't even watch your show. I listen to you guys.
I owe her no apology,
but
honey.
You said years ago when she was on, when she used to have run a show that was kind of like all the other talk shows where it'd have people fighting and arguing. And
oh, she changed the show.
And you said she is going to go right back as soon as her... She fails.
All right, well, you know what? You know what? She should have gone back and done that because Jerry Springer is kicking her ass.
She's successful, and she does an uplifting, entertaining, educational show.
She still does man-hater shows. Listen, F Oprah's Angels, honey. Please. Have you seen that yet? We have Oprah's Angels, Oprah's Book Club.
The conscience. I feel like the conscience of the show is on right now. You're in that good conscience mode, Frida.
Hell, I hate
but
Oprah.
You were wrong, and I told you you'd be wrong, and you've never admitted. She's doing fine, and she's doing a
I'm sad job. That so many women like yourself get sucked into this Oprah vacuum.
I don't even watch Oprah, so
Oprah's such a bleeding heart. She's doing so much for people. She's making $100 million a year.
Yes, and that's the whole point. You said she couldn't be a good person and be successful, and she is.
I overestimated the intelligence of her audience.
No, you overestimated that. Not everybody wants to see fights and chair throwing on talk shows and Bride of Chucky movies. Not everybody.
Well, I didn't know that the house frows would stay with her.
I mean, you have your audience, and she has hers.
F her. Really, can't you just let me be happy? I'm happy that Oprah has finally won in the loss column.
No, not when it's at somebody else's expense.
And furthermore, Oprah, let me say something else. You know, why don't you try making a movie about something besides slavery? All right, didn't she already make that movie with A Color Purple?
Yeah, I think that she was
right?
in that movie.
We've already seen that. Why don't you make a movie that makes us laugh? Or make a contemporary movie.
Or make a horror movie like Chucky.
There's not enough of those. There
could
be somebody making a movie about the human experience.
If Oprah Winfrey made a movie like Chucky, it would be probably the monster would be called Opie.
Hold it, Jack. Opie's back.
Bride of Opie.
I'm just glad she has such a gigantic PR machine behind her.
She does indeed.
And she uses her show every day to promote her movie or to promote the books that she's selling. I'm just glad to see, at least for 1 week, that Oprah Winfrey got her comeuppance and got beaten by Chucky.
You know, you can't. Are you putting? Oh, do you put Oprah in the same category as Kathy Lee?
I put Oprah absolutely in the same category.
She's not as upfront about it as Kathy Lee is.
Yeah, that's right. I'll tell you something right now, though. But they both have that same self-important, self-worshipping attitude. And, you know, and Rosie O'Donnell's in that category, too.
That you don't think that Oprah is maybe trying to educate or entertain or do something?
You know something? Let me tell you something. I don't think Oprah, for a second, is not necessarily doing those things. I think what she does, she may feel good about what she does, and that's great. But where I lose it with Oprah is the incredible self-promotion machine that is Oprah Winfrey.
Because she's a businesswoman?
Yeah, no, it's not because she's a businesswoman. I don't like anybody that does that.
She's just a phony baloney.
You wouldn't promote on your show something that you're doing?
Honey, listen, at least Kathy C. Gifford comes out and says, you know what? I'm in it for the money. I put my name on the clothes because I like the money, okay? Oprah doesn't...
Oprah was making big money and doing it the tacky way, and now she's trying to do both. Nothing to say you can't have money and do something positive.
I'm just talking on a personal level when I see her on those talk shows, and she's just talking about how wonderful Oprah is. It's just, I get tired of it.
I just hate her.
Sick of it.
I just hate her. And at least give me this. I've been consistent. I've pretty much hated Oprah all along.
Well, then she would say the same thing to you that you say to her. Then turn the dial.
I do. I don't want your show.
Well, me neither.
But I can't stop the bombardment when her face is on the cover of every magazine.
You were just jealous.
I am happy that Oprah is a failure.
You wouldn't love to be... You would just want to take her place. You would be saying, girlfriend...
I would change that... And you know what? I'll tell you something else. What? I wouldn't turn on and off my ethnicity on the show. When I got white people on the show, I wouldn't talk one way. When I had black people on the show, I wouldn't talk another way. I would talk the same way all the time.
Oh, you do too talk differently. When you are talking to sports people, you talk in almost a New York kind of, you drop you change your accent entirely.
This is blasphemy now.
Your Bronx accent.
I can't believe this. You are siding with Oprah rather than siding with me.
I don't care about Oprah. I don't even watch
Pledge your allegiance to me, the man that bought your mother a car. Has Oprah bought your mother a car?
You do change the way you talk, and I've told you this at home. Sometimes you talk in that tough guy, I'm a jock kind of way.
Did Oprah buy your mother a car?
No.
I bought your mother a car.
All right. I'm sorry. You're right, honey.
Thank you.
You are so right.
Thank you. And Oprah's a big failure. This movie is a big stinker.
Oh, yes, sir. I didn't notice that, but you are right.
All right. Thank you. That's what I like. A little more of that, please.
I'm making shake and bake for dinner. That's got to be something.
That's a good wife.
Okay, good.
Are you really?
Yes, I really am.
Well, good. So how pathetic is this? That like gave me a real lift to get through the last hour of the show.
Okay.
All right. I love you, honey.
I love you, too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I think my wife is pretty representative of the way a lot of women feel about Oprah.
Yeah, I they do get sucked in by Oprah, but I think it was last week also when you saw Oprah everywhere you turned. You saw Oprah. Is Oprah, you know, Oprah goes on Rosie talking about that she'd want a baby. It's like, come on, enough. I don't like overkill in any area. I really don't. I don't like people that are at the top of the mountain, you know, getting even more, even more, even more. I wish it was a little better distributed.
Hello, Don and Mike. Throw some of that our way.
Yeah,
please.
Here.
We're on the bottom of that mountain. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Love you. Hate to tell you this because they followed it up on UPI, every news source this morning about her movie. It was limited viewing, limited theaters.
Excuses.
That's right.
Excuses. Listen, I don't care if it was I don't care if it was in 10 theaters. When Oprah's on her show every day talking to 300 million people,
I'm with you.
It should do better than it did.
I'm with you. I just have to say, the very first time I've ever heard news sources like this follow up. However, it was limited viewing, limited theaters, and
everybody's
nationwide yet. That's just, I haven't heard it either.
Everybody's so afraid to say anything bad about the mighty Oprah Winfrey. I'm telling you, her show is boring. She's boring. And thank goodness she got beaten by Chucky. You hear me? She got beaten by Chucky.
For God's sake, let us enjoy it.
So she and Norv Turner should go on together somewhere.
No, don't drag Norv down there.
Spineless drone as well.
Okay. Oh, now come on. That's insulting to Norv Turner.
That was a kind of a twofold call there.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Who's this?
This is Don and Mike.
Hey.
Hey. What do you want?
Never mind.
That was great.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Definitely worthwhile.
Hey, now.
Hey.
Keep killing me.
I have a celebrity sighting, and I insulted the person for you. Well, not for you, but I can tell you about it.
Really? Who was the person?
Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett.
Tony Bennett.
The great Tony Bennett. How did you insult him?
My brother and I were down in Atlantic City. We were on an elevator. He gets on, and I'm asking for an autograph for my wife. My brother says, who are you opening for? And I was drunk as hell. I said, whose hair are you wearing tonight? And he got pissed and crumbled it up, threw it out as he was.
So wait a minute. I heard two insults at once. Whose hair are you wearing and who are you opening for?
My brother asked him, who's opening for you tonight?
Who's opening for you?
I thought he was trying to be nice about that.
Right. Okay. Now, did Tony, was Tony nice?
Now, was he on stage when you said this?
No, he was in an elevator.
He was in an elevator. Now, when you said, who's opening for you, was he nice about that?
Very nice. He couldn't have been nicer.
And then when you said about the hair.
I said, Tony, whose hair are you wearing tonight?
Because you were you were loaded?
Oh, I was bombed.
Oh, really? Now, what did he do after he crumpled up the paper?
He kind of mumbled something and hit the button, and he got off the elevator. I don't even know if it was
an a-hole, please.
Tony got very upset.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Are you a-hole?
Hello, Don on Mike Show.
Yeah, Don.
Yeah.
That lady said that movie was limited? Bull crap. I live in Chico, California. Nobody lives here, and it opened up this past weekend. Don't tell me it didn't. No, it opened up, and I'm limited.
You know, to be honest, I'm looking in the...
Nobody wanted to watch this
stupid thing. Hold on. I'm looking in the newspaper right here, and it does say it's showing in 1,000 fewer theaters than the other movies.
Okay, so instead of 40,000, it's showing at 39,000.
But I still stand by my statement that Chucky and Rush Hour and Ants and Practical Magic didn't have all the promotion that Oprah did.
Yeah, according to the Associated Press, it's all over the country. It's just on fewer screens. It's there to see it, but no one's going to see it.
Right. Hello, Donna Meisha.
Sure, I'm worried about Oprah.
Hello? Just make a funny movie, Oprah. Or make a serious movie. Make whatever. Just don't make another movie about slavery. You know what I mean? I mean, I can't imagine black people wanting to go to see that movie. That would bum them out. White people, you're going to see to bum you out, too, because you're the people that kept the black people in slavery.
A lot of people like to go to see movies that bum them out.
Seems to me a pretty easy way to make a movie, though. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you try to make a movie about something relevant?
That's right.
So today. Because that's how I feel. Put some car crashes in it.
Explosions, crazy shootouts.
Some aliens. You know. Some nice nudity. And then maybe I will go see your movie.
And don't forget the nudity.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, this is the guy you say you wanted, the Star 69.
Tastefully done, of course, though. Tastefully done.
Yeah, how are you guys doing?
No, I just wanted to say you're an idiot, that's all.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm in California, and I'm on Highway 50. The sign says Ocean City, Maryland, 4,000 miles. I'm on my way. I'm going to kick your fat ass.
All right. Hello, Don on my show.
And there's love here.
Hello.
How you doing, guys?
Hi.
Hey, I got an idea for an Oprah movie that I'd like. Another feel-good movie. They ought to have her star as a compulsive eater.
All right, hello, Don and Mike Show. There's lots of venom for Oprah out there.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's right down sex lines. You got the ladies and the men who part company on this. I think a lot of women are going to go see this movie. A lot of guys are going to be, huh, geez, Oprah. Because, like us, in the early days of Oprah, no matter what kind of show she was doing, from the very beginning, it was the man-haters show.
Yeah. Even when she had people throwing chairs at each other.
That's right.
It was always the man's fault.
Absolutely. You know, and many times, early on, before anybody else was doing it, you would have the two women talking about the guy that's, you know, philandering on both
the guy
them,
that did them wrong.
And then the toothless idiot that volunteered to be on the show. Oprah started that, remember? And the guy would be in there going, well, I like... And, you know, he'd defend himself in some miraculous way, like saying, I like effing both of them. And then you know, you'd see the whole audience go, boo!
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, you should tell Frida to save her money. I went to the show, and for the same reasons that she likes to go, and I couldn't figure out what the movie was about all the way to the end.
Hmm. All right. All right, well, maybe that's one reason it got beaten by Chucky this weekend.
Chucky! Save her money.
All right, thank you.
And, you know, if you can throw in a good word about the Chucky movie, let's also remember that you got that great Jennifer Tilly cleavage in it.
Absolutely. Hello.
Jennifer Tilly, who is one of the dumbest women in America, and you got cleavage. At least she knows what she's good at.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Show us that broad cheese.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now, you kids are probably saying to yourselves, hey, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get the world by the tail and wrap it around and pull it down and put it in my pocket. Well, I'm here to tell you that you're probably going to find out as you go out there that you're not going to amount to jack squat. You're going to end up eating a steady diet of government cheese and living in a van down by the river.
The Don and Mike Show.
Young lady, what do you want to do with your life?
I want to live in a van down by the river.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to live in a van down by the river when you're living in a van down by the river.
Two handsome, stunning faggots, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Is anyone listening?
I think this is my son calling in home from school. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, bud.
Hey, Dad.
Let me ask you a question before you tell your joke.
I don't want to tell the joke.
Why don't you want to tell the joke?
It's taking an entire break.
No. Tell it to me like you did in the car. Give me the version that you gave to me, not the version you gave to Mommy.
No. You probably already told them all about it.
I just said that you told the joke that you thought was one of the funniest you've ever heard.
I didn't say it was one of the funniest.
Oh, yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Oh, yes. Oh, this is now, you know what this is? This is now backtracking.
Well, now we're going to have to hear the joke.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Come on. If you don't tell it, I'll tell it.
Okay, I want you to tell it.
No, I want you to tell it in your own inimitable style.
Why?
Because you did a better job of telling it than me.
Why don't you try?
Can you tell it in an abbreviated form?
I don't think so.
Just tell it to me like you told it when you told it to me when Mommy was there.
Took me about 5 minutes.
I got 5 minutes. Hey, listen, do you want to go see that Wizard of Oz play?
Sure.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, so, yeah, I would have lost a side bet on that. All right.
Why?
Well, your mom's going to get free tickets.
She wants free tickets. All right, listen, tell everybody this joke.
No.
Come on, I warned you I was going to do this.
Please. No, you didn't.
Didn't I tell you that I was going to call you up and have you tell the joke on the show today?
No, you didn't.
Please tell the joke, Bart. Please.
I don't want to look stupid. Dad, why don't you?
It's tough to make an argument. I mean, if it's not that good a joke,
and it's not,
and then we're asking, you know, and he does show good sense in that regard. That he doesn't want to embarrass himself.
Yeah, but we had to sit through it in real life. And
I don't mind looking stupid to you guys.
Anything I have to sit through in real life, you guys have to sit through now. All right, here's the joke. And you tell me if I forget it.
Why don't both of you tell the joke and assist each other in the joke telling?
Oh, and
will you help your father out with this, Bart?
Okay.
Did you tell me this? Did you do as I asked? Did you tell this joke to any of your pals today at school?
No, I didn't have time.
Oh, didn't have time.
Not enough time between classes.
Okay. There's these guys. And now I'm not kidding, Barty. You got to help me with the setup.
Three guys. Their car breaks down.
And they're walking. And they're walking on a road. And they get to a house.
All pink.
And the house is all pink.
Okay.
So is the grass.
Hmm.
Everything around.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in this house is pink.
Everything pink.
And this is abbreviated.
Do you know this joke, Rob? Do you know?
No. I'm just enjoying it.
I guarantee you don't know this joke, Rob. So the house is all pink. Everything's pink. They go up and they knock on the front door. Is that right?
Yeah. So they can stay the night and then call somebody in the morning.
Okay. See, already we're in joke reality here where the car is broken down and they're spending a night at the pink house.
So they go up to the doorbell, they ring the doorbell, it's pink, everything's pink. And the lady that answers the door, what was it about her? She's wearing all pink clothes?
Yeah, like Jackie O.
Okay. Like Jackie O.
We all know that she used to wear all pink.
Right. And the lady is also pink.
As you called her on Saturday, you told me to jack like Jackie O. Kennedy.
Jackie O. Kennedy. That works.
Jackie O. Kennedy.
All right, so they're at the pink house. The lady is wearing all pink, and she answers the door.
And then what does she say to them?
Hi, you can spend the night if you need to.
Okay, and they come inside, and then what do they notice?
Everything's pink.
Everything on the inside of the house is pink, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Meaning what? Describe the things inside the house.
Why can't you?
Because I have to sit through this whole thing. Like, the walls are pink.
Right.
The curtains are pink.
The stairs are pink.
The floor is pink.
Sofa's pink.
Everything's pink. They go up to the room.
This is a pink house.
They go up to their room, and surprise, the bed's
pink.
The bed's pink.
The bathroom towels are pink?
Yep.
Everything's pink.
Bathroom, everything pink?
Everything's pink.
That's some serious pink.
So they go to sleep.
And they don't dream in black and white. They dream in pink.
They dream in pink. Okay.
Okay. Oh. Now, they wake up in the morning, and they go down to breakfast. Mm-hmm. And in the kitchen, well, you guessed it, it's all pink. Everything's pink.
Yep.
Pink eggs, pink table, pink chairs, pink tablecloth.
Refrigerator.
Everything is pink.
Lady hands them two pink glasses with pink lemonade inside.
Right, pink lemonade.
Is the water coming out of the faucet pink, too?
I don't know.
Okay, sorry.
Just pink lemonade is all we heard.
Just pink lemonade.
And
I'm
now
sorry.
I'll tell it, Dad.
Okay, all right.
And you have to say what the moral of the story is.
Okay.
So, the lady asked them, what would you like for breakfast? One of the guys says, I'll have Captain Crunch. The next guy says, I'll have Captain Crunch, too. And the third guy says, I'll have Cheerios. Dad, what's the moral of this story?
And the moral of the story is, two out of three people prefer Captain Crunch to Cheerios. That's... Oh, it's a joke.
Nothing to do with pink.
And meanwhile...
Nothing like it all to do with
he
pink.
He is laughing his butt off. You know, we're in the car and I'm saying, that's not even funny. That's not even close to funny.
I thought you were
still laughing.
And this is where you were mistaken. I was laughing...
Two out of three people prefer Captain Crunch over Cheerios. Mm-hmm.
I was
so
laughing...
So the whole point of the pink thing is simply a ruse.
I was laughing because... Well, because I love you.
But you kept laughing at it afterwards.
When you heard the joke, Bart, for the first time, did you laugh out loud?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
One of your school chums tell you this?
Yes.
Ah. Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you could share that with everybody.
You know, I'm thinking
everybody a big laugh today.
Perhaps he's functioning on a different level. And that's why we didn't laugh loudly at it.
And you should have seen him when he told it in person. Because now, keep in mind, he'd already told the joke to Frida.
Right.
And Frida gave me a look. He said, Dad, I want to tell you a joke. It's a hilarious joke. And I said, okay. And Frida said, oh, you don't want to hear this joke.
Oh, no.
And I said, no, let me hear it. And the way that I heard it and the way that you just heard it, according to Frida, was much abbreviated.
So it's much longer leading up. Oh, well, I'm certainly glad we were able to shave some time off of that.
Mommy heard the version that was much longer, right?
Mm-hmm.
The car, probably a pink cars, and much more pink stuff.
Right, so I told him today, when you go to school today, here's what I want to do. Tell that to some of his buddies at school.
Right.
And let me know what their honest reaction is. But you didn't have a chance to tell it to anybody today?
Nope.
All right, well, tomorrow, that's your homework for tomorrow.
That's his comedy homework.
Tell that joke at school tomorrow and tell me what kind of reaction you get.
I bet you somebody will laugh.
I'm eager to hear.
Well, I'd like to know their names.
No.
Of those who laugh.
Names?
Okay.
The names have been changed for the protection.
All right, my guy. I love you. I'll see you later.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Oh, there you go. From the mind of a nearly 14-year-old.
You know, caught me by surprise. Totally caught me by surprise.
I told you it was lame.
So pink had nothing to do with it.
Right.
Kind of the joke, I guess.
Right. And he laughed his ass off. I mean, he was really throwing his head back and showing his teeth and laughing.
You know, when you show your teeth, that's the biggest kind of laugh.
And then the problem is that I was laughing...
Because of his reaction. And coming from your 13-year-old son, that's cute and that's funny. Because
he thought it was funny, and I was laughing at the fact how lame the joke was. All right. Well,
and now people are going to have to resist the urge to call with their lame joke.
Oh, please don't.
Oh, no.
Please. We already have a winner in our lame joke contest. No lamer joke than that, I guarantee it.
You know, I can hear that. Hey, Dynamite, you really want to hear a lame one?
No.
No.
Hello?
Hey, guys.
Yeah.
I was wondering, I was listening to the best of yesterday, and you guys played back when you all called the gay hotline. I was wondering if that had anything to do with the gay Planet of the Apes.
Everything has to do with the gay Planet of the Apes.
I'm glad.
It'll be the greatest tour de force ever to hit cinema.
You know, sometime on today's show, I hope we get a chance to call some of these new gay 1-900 numbers I got.
We can float our idea about gay Planet of the Apes when we call.
Listen to some of these numbers that I got from the back of the magazine.
From the back of the magazine.
Back of the magazine. Gay play. Steamy sex for men only. One-on-one sexy talk. Sexy lonely guys. College boys, one-on-one. Hot jocks and muscle men.
Yeah!
Two men and you. Hot, fast, and cheap. Curious for the first time.
Oh, dear.
Hot, live studs. Gay live cruising. Free hot gay action. Man scan across USA.
Man scan.
One-on-one. Da, da. One-on-one sizzling dudes. All gay frat house party. Walk on the wild side. Jump in and join the gay jam. Guys meet guys at the boys club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. And all leading up to, of course, the triumphant return of Gay Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, we'll call that today on today's show. Thank you, my friend.
No problem.
All right, see you later. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, guys. Welcome back from the three-day weekend. I just thought I'd let you know the pleasure I received from looking at... I had some cleat eye at my house working on some repairs, and I thought I'd F with them a little bit, and I turned your show on, and I just snuck back in the corners and just watched the expression on their faces when you were talking. You guys were... It was the best of yesterday when Buzz was ordering the pay-per-view and you guys were making several comments and making bets on when the action would start.
Oh, was that when Buzz was at home,
right.
Ill?
Right.
Correct.
Ordering a dirty movie from his bedroom? Yeah.
The expressions on their faces when you guys were cracking on it, and they were trying to, they didn't know what was going on. It was
let me get this straight. You had repairmen
correct.
Over at your house. You put our show on, and then you snuck behind like a curtain and peered out at them to see what their reaction would be?
I didn't actually get behind a curtain, but you got the right idea.
You were hiding. You were lurking and hiding.
Yeah,
and looking.
Just snickering.
Mm. Okay.
It will fascinate you.
It was fascinating. Thank you.
That's normal.
Was everything pink?
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello there.
I wanted to give congrats to Mike on his impression of Nick Nolte.
Oh, yeah.
Last
you.
Friday.
Thank you.
And
it was a good one, wasn't it?
I'm going to tell you. Last Friday, my husband and I were riding down the road listening to it, and I thought, okay, Mike's finally buzzed out. He's gone over the top. Then I saw the movie, The Thin Red Line, this weekend.
It's mm-hmm. dead on, isn't it?
I mean, Nick Nolte was... way out.
Well, you'll be happy to know that my Nick Nolte impression continued well on into the evening that night.
Oh, really?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, because Mike had a friend pick him up downstairs. They were going to go listen to some jazz band or something.
Yeah, and then the jazz band was the whole... Did you know all of Tyson's Corner on Friday night where we were going to go see that big band? All of Tyson's Corner, the mall, was shut down because of a broken water main. So we got up there and we're all set to go because this place, I guess it's called America, we were going to go see this big band in there. Mm-hmm. And we get there, and all these security guys are around all over the place. And we stop to say, hey, where's the entrance for this place? And the guy said, mall's closed. Moose out front should have told you. The whole mall was completely shut down. So I'm sure there were some other people that experienced that. So we went to another place, a little hole-in-the-wall place, where we did our Nick Nolte impression all evening, all evening long.
And relaxed with some friends.
Yeah, and I sounded just like Nick the next day without having to really try.
Oh, you know, you really haven't had fun. You go out with Mike when he acts like Charlie all night. Oh. That's the most fun, going out with Mike.
Yeah. I'd like the fried calamari, please.
Yes, okay.
But you're right about it. He ate that Nick Nolte.
It was great.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Oops. Hello.
You suck.
And thank you, too, sir.
All right, give me that guy's number. That's the second time that guy's called today. Mm-hmm. Line 3, give me his number, please. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
It's a shame as I am to admit this. I think I made up the purple joke. Or the pink joke. We have called it the purple joke 10 years ago.
What? Listen, he sounds like you're talking on the CB radio.
It's a bad phone in the office here.
You're working in an office?
Oh, no.
No, I didn't think so.
I told you where I work. You just laugh at me, so I'm just going to pretend not to work here.
What's that, Mumbles?
That made no sense?
Yes,
then
no.
I called you back on a different line.
Oh, please don't call back. What did you want to say?
No, I'm just saying my brother made up the purple joke, or the pink joke, you called it, when I was, like, in sixth grade.
Second time he called it the purple joke.
Yeah, we called it the purple joke. You made it much longer. You started out in the purple galaxy, then you moved into the purple universe, then the purple whatever.
And your brother, you're saying, was the originator of that.
I swear to God. We grew up in Frederick, Maryland. I don't know how it got down to D.C., but now you got it all over the damn world.
And now your brother owns the building that you're in now.
Oh, yeah.
That you're cleaning right now.
Yeah, it's purple building, by the way.
Okay.
Purple back in the day.
Bye-bye.
Purple water.
Goodbye.
Purple water.
Well, I tell you, think of the mind that would claim authorship of that joke.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I don't know. I thought the pink joke was pretty good. Don... So I gotta say, I'm a little worried about Bart. He wants to go to the theater. He cries at football games.
There we go.
I mean, I don't know, Don. That's the kind of guy that you usually call a big pussy.
Jesus. Back off.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike. My place is pink.
Oh, I don't doubt that, honey.
And then she hung up.
She hung up. I bet it's a little red, too.
Jeez.
Maybe some other colors.
If some other colors get in there, please seek medical attention.
Maybe some other colors that remind you of fall and Halloween.
If you start seeing the Halloween colors, make sure to get immediate medical attention.
If you see black or orange, call 911 immediately.
That's right.
Same if you see the Christmas colors. You see red and green, especially.
Or the color of snow. Get out of there right away.
Hello.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Or feeling all American. You see red, white, and blue.
White and blue.
There's a problem. Call your doctor.
Immediately.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
Hey, I feel your pain, buddy. I've got a 14-year-old, and that joke was something else, but here's the kicker. My father told me when I was that age, he said, trust me, son. He said, they will grow out of it.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for that great advice.
Hi, man.
Remember, if you see orange or black, yeah, call your doctor and don't look back.
I got that. And I get jokes. I didn't understand that.
No. I get jokes. Hey, where's that tape, Rob? I needed that one when Bart was on the phone.
I get it. I get jokes.
I get jokes. Hello, Donna Mike.
Hey, man, I made up the pink joke, man.
All right, come on now. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Bobby.
You ever been with a black woman?
Yeah.
It's purple.
Really? I didn't look.
Yeah.
You didn't?
Didn't look, no.
Really?
No, I looked down there with one of those big miner's helmets.
Then it's not purple.
You know.
It's not. No,
most
it's not.
Most
no.
of them are purple.
No.
Most
wrong.
Purple.
Most all blacks are purple.
Oh, wrong.
Jesus.
What's wrong with people, Edith?
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Donaldo E. Miguel.
Yeah.
Hey, you were talking about Bill Maher earlier.
Yeah, hey, I get jokes.
Oh, I get it. I get jokes.
I get jokes. Yeah, what about Bill Maher?
I read in one of those rags, one of the tabloids, that some hoe that he was with said apparently his hygiene wasn't all that great. He had a little bit of biological brie going on.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Boy, find me that tabloid article.
Really?
Oh, oh, man.
That's a good tip, and thank you, sir.
I guess he would be experiencing some of the Christmas colors.
Okay, one more call. Hello, Don and Mike.
Yeah, Don, have you ever been with a Chinese woman?
Why, yes. What color should I look for there?
They're sideways.
No, for God's sake, stop it.
Hey, Mike. I get jokes.
I get it.
I get jokes.
Oh, I get it.
Sure.
I get jokes.
I get jokes. I get it. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What happened with your wife last night?
I wasn't with my wife. I was with my girlfriend.
Are you having marriage problems?
No.
And why do you have a girlfriend?
Well, you stop marvelizing with me now.
No. I'm just curious. Why do you have a girlfriend?
I do things with her I can't do with my wife.
Why can't you do them with your wife?
Hey, that's the mouth she kisses my kids goodnight with. What are you, crazy?
The Don and Mike Show. They love their mamas. Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Say, listen, I used to live out in Denver, and my wife's brother used to tend bar. I don't know, can I name the place?
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to tend bar at a place called Shotgun Willie's, and I'd hang out.
Shotgun Willie's. That's the best place in town.
Yeah, it is. They're beautiful.
Shotgun
anyway,
Willie's.
I would hang out there to see my wife's brother, who tended bar there, of course. You know,
yeah.
That's the only reason I was there. And the dancers and the bartenders and all the employees would constantly complain about how he would never tip, and I know for a fact that he would sit around all night.
Now, you're talking about John Elway here?
Talking about John Elway.
Okay.
You would, and the, you know...
Super Bowl hero, John Elway.
He's a celeb, you know, so people would buy him drinks. I did it myself a few times, because in Denver, if you're not a Bronco fan, they lynch you.
Now, did he come in with a big gang of players?
You know, sometimes he was there by himself. Sometimes he'd have a couple of guys with him, you know.
Now, is this... Give me a time frame. Was this when they had the D on the helmets, or is this with the new uniform?
Well, let me tell you, I left there... 4 years ago, so it would have been...
So they still had the D on their helmets,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, absolutely. They hadn't made the uniform change.
And did he wear the helmet into the joint?
No, well, his hair, you know, he didn't need to. The hair kind of looked, stayed the same. But anyway, the point was, you know, you don't mind him, you know, working off his celebrity and getting free drinks, but he would do that all night long, and then he wouldn't tip the dancers, he wouldn't tip the bartenders, and I was there many a night and watched it, and it was just amazing.
Just seething with overwhelming jealousy.
Excuse me?
Just seething. Not, you know, as you had to pay for your drinks and you had to tip the dancers.
This guy's boiling over watching this happen, right?
I fell for it a couple of times. Sat there with him and bought him a couple of drinks, and then he just gets up and walks away, you know, and leaves you to tip. You know, that's not a big deal. But I just thought with all of his cash, and quite frankly, Don, I just wanted to commend you on your judge of character, because you're right on the money with this guy.
Well, now listen, I would like to say I'm not condemning any man that's gone into a strip club.
No.
God knows that I've spent... Many creative hours of that myself.
And that is what that's when we want to do our real creative thinking.
Mm-hmm. That's where we have our show prep meetings. We go down to Good Guys or the King Camelot. So what's the name of that place downtown?
Camelot, and then there used to be King Arthur's.
It's
how about the names of those places too? King Arthur's, Camelot. Yes.
There's one last thing, and I'll let you guys go.
Lancelot, join me to look at the the bar.
I moved over to Kona, Hawaii, and I literally, quite frankly, my wife doesn't know this, but I claimed island fever and moved back to Davenport, Iowa here so I could get your show.
Oh, well, that's very nice. Thank you.
I'd like to just point out, although, you know, I have full belief in this call, that there is absolutely no way we have of verifying whether John Elway was indeed in that joint or not.
And listen, that wouldn't necessarily be an indictment, because someone could call and say the same thing about me and Mike.
Sure.
I mean, we certainly have been spotted in strip clubs occasionally.
Yeah, but they certainly couldn't say it about the tipping.
And once again, that was the point.
Because there was a lot of tipping that went on.
That was the point of it, was the fact that he's got all this cash and he wasn't ponying up anything.
Right,
okay, you know?
Okay, you're a very angry man.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye. Well, that's all right. I'm bitter, too. I can relate to that.
It just would seem to me that if I'm sitting next to John Elway or any other major quarterback and hanging and just talking and buying drinks, and he gets up and leaves, I wouldn't be fazed. It'd be kind of cool just hanging out with an NFL quarterback.
I'd be surprised that a guy that's as image conscious as John Elway would go into a T-word bar,
mm-hmm,
and like would let other people buy him drinks and stuff. Of course, you remember a long time ago when Sinbad was like the whitest black guy in America, when there was no white person on the face of the earth that was not threatened. He was the most non-threatening black guy, more non-threatening than Al Roker, this guy Sinbad.
And speaking of football, this was when we were at the Super Bowl when the Redskins were in Minnesota. I forgot who they were playing.
The Buffalo Bills.
Buffalo Bills, that's right.
And we went to a place called Solid Gold. That was a big famous strip club
up
there.
We sprinted to this place. All somebody had to do was tell us in the lobby, there's this incredible place called Solid Gold.
And we went in there, and Sinbad was in there. And I'm telling you, this guy, he just got done like doing Star Search and such.
What's it say about us, though? You know, we got naked women running all over this joint. Don and I are like jumping up and down like we're, you know, Catholic schoolgirls going, "There's Sinbad!"
And he had a group of girls around him. And as I recall,
we sat directly in back of his table.
Same thing going on, that Sinbad didn't spend any money himself, that everybody was buying all the stuff for Sinbad.
That's right. And Sinbad had a great time. And we just lingered there.
Look, that's Sinbad. He's famous.
Look at that Sinbad.
That's before he became all orange and everything.
Now, did he do any tipping?
No, he was also cheap.
Oh, he had some guys. He had an entourage. He had some guys with him, and
he had his posse with him.
Guy had like a wad of 20s that he was. I remember also that the tipping for a private dance, to have them dance in front of you, was just astronomical.
A lot of money.
It was Super Bowl week, and they had raised their rates.
Of course. And if you see Sinbad now, like on HBO, he's so orange, man.
Yes, he is.
He's like as orange as Surf's fingers are.
He's my son.
He's very orange.
My son is Shirley Hemphill.
Hello, Don and Mike Gill.
Yeah, I've got a little story about Jim Kelly, talking about Super Bowl quarterbacks.
Hello? I got nothing against Jim Kelly. I don't know if I want to hear something bad about Jim Kelly.
Nothing bad at all. It's good, as a matter of fact.
It's a nice story that makes Jim Kelly out to be a good guy?
Well, yeah, exactly. It was a charity golf tournament it was a small potatoes thing, but he said, yeah, I'll be there. It's for kids and something like that. And he just went around signing autographs, but at the end of the day, somebody donated a quart of Crown Royal or something, and everybody just got drunk, and he started wrestling with people. He made a fool of himself, but, you know, people were all getting drunk.
He started wrestling with people.
He did. Come on.
He's a good guy.
And I was there, and then Bubby Brister, he pulled down his pants. He took a big old number two right on our picnic table.
And he didn't say nothing.
He didn't even say he was sorry. Bubby Brister.
Bubby Brister reminds me of Jethro Bodine. Now, he really does, I swear to God.
He is definitely the Bayou.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Hey, Dynamite Show. Hello. It's afternoon.
Oh, I'm sorry. How you doing today? I can confirm Elway and Shotgun Willie's. It's true.
Well, how can you confirm that?
Because I travel all over the nation, and I've dropped a couple $300 in there.
Yes, and?
I go out to Denver for business. I was talking to a couple of the dancers, and one night when I was out there 2 years ago, he was sitting there, and it looked like he had a couple of car salesman types with him because the way they were dressed, and they just sat there, and he was...
See, wait, now that doesn't make a lot of sense. A car salesman going into a strip club?
Hold on a second. You might be right, but I'd rather talk to this girl. Here's a local stripper who says that she dances at the Camelot and that the Washington Redskins don't tip her. Here is Gabrielle. Hello, Gabrielle.
Hi.
Hi, you.
I don't work there anymore. I used to.
Ah, okay. Boy, perhaps we've opened up an entire problem here.
Maybe.
So the football players didn't tip you?
No, they never did.
Who came in? Can you name the Redskins that
came
in?
To be honest, I was so turned off because they were so cheap, I didn't even waste my time.
Yeah, now, that's the spirit of a dancer. Strictly mercenary.
But was it a whole bunch of Redskins together?
There was about 10 of them.
About 10 of them? Right.
Yeah, they took up pretty much the whole top floor corner.
Was Sonny Jurgensen there?
No.
I don't like her. How about Billy Kilmer?
No, to be honest, I don't know.
One of them Sammy Ball?
I just remember it was a big thing. They all came in, and all the girls were so upset because they didn't tip.
Did Sam Huff tip you well?
That was Sonny, Sam, and Franklin in that place. Hey, what do you think?
And I used to work at Good Guys, and I never saw you all there.
Oh, we were there.
Oh, we were there many times.
I'm sorry I missed you.
He was pretty good looking there, linebacker.
Many times. How long ago is this the Redskins came in and didn't tip you? How many years?
Almost four.
Four. So that was like before Gus was on the team, right?
What was your stage name?
Gabrielle.
Gabrielle, and you don't dance anymore?
No, I quit about a year ago.
Did you bring the Windex out with you?
Yes, I did.
That's always to me the sign of a very clean dancer, dancer that will come out and Windex.
Well, you always
off.
Know the dancer before is dirty if the girl comes out with Windex.
She will Windex off like the mirrors and stuff around there before she starts her performance.
Fantastic. Yeah, this was the girl before was dirty.
Yeah, you girls are performance artists.
Well, feel free to come down since you're no longer in the ranks of a professional dancer. Feel free to come down and play strip trivia next time we do it.
Oh, I just might do that.
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Trying to think who would have been on the team 4 years ago. They sucked 4 years ago, the Redskins did, so we weren't friends with a whole lot of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it's tough because, you know, so many of those guys go in different directions.
Maybe Johnny Field Goal was still hanging around then. Chip Lowmiller, guy used to be the field goal kicker.
He was a guy that enjoyed his leisure time.
Sure did. He enjoyed a nice egg sandwich.
Yes, he did. You know, living off rip all the time, that's great.
Hello, Don on my show.
You know what, Latrell Freewell never tipped me.
Are you a male dancer?
Yep.
What do you mean, that guy that choked his coach? Ah, come on, he's making a joke.
Yeah, it's a legend, but, you know, it sounds like maybe he choked more than the coach.
Hello, Dynamite.
Yeah, this is Ryan.
Yes, hello, Ryan.
Hey, there's a great article in Playboy this month about scores in Manhattan, and they were talking about a Cy Young pitcher that came in, and they had him drunk, passed out, throwing up outside afterward.
Here's a guy that actually reads the articles in Playboy.
Hey, it's actually a pretty good article.
Way to go.
So all the mobsters and everyone else in the club went and put a bunch of action on the game because the pitcher was pitching the next day, and they all lost their ass because...
because he was getting bombed the night before?
Yeah, and he ended up winning the game.
He won the game,
Man.
All right, just like the Bambino.
Was his name David Wells?
They didn't mention the name, and that's one thing they said about that club is that all the dancers were always hush-hush. And made about $2,000 a night.
See, the dancers are hush-hush, but, you know, and you see that dancer probably knew the Redskins that were in there, but she was hush-hush. That's a policy, but the guys that go in there, I drive all the way across the country. There he was, John Elway.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike.
Hi there.
How are you?
Great, thank you.
Speaking of worthless tippers that take up space, the entire Redskins offensive line used to come to the Holiday Inn Pool Bar in Ocean City with their whole families, like Joe Jacoby.
Oh, you mean the old-time offensive line, like the Hogs?
Yeah, the whole hog.
Right.
They come there with their whole family.
Well, that's the best place to play Marco Polo.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Picture all them Bostic and all those guys play a Marco Polo together.
Bostic on Jacoby's shoulders doing chicken fights.
Russ Grimm. The whole Redskins offensive line.
Mark May and Russ Grimm.
They're cooking their frozen drinks all day.
So what was hold on. What about frozen drinks?
Like, I don't know, 2%, if that, on about a $300 check.
So, hold on. Be specific. Who was not a good tipper? Name names, please. Name names.
They'd all be on the same check, and it would be Jacoby, Russ Grimm, Rally McKenzie. There'd usually be four or five of them.
All right, well, let me just say in their defense that, you know, they didn't make as much as the players do now.
That's right, true.
But still...
And what was your first name when you were waiting those tables?
I was bartending, actually.
Yeah, and what was your first name?
Toast.
What is it?
Toast.
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 Didn't Russ Grimm tell you he tips big for everybody except for Toast?
Yes.
Because Toast doesn't put any booze in the frozen drink. It's about 2% alcohol. It's because Toast was giving him sugar water.
Toast.
Hey, we've been here for 2 days.
Listen, Mr. Jacoby. I've given you 5 banana daiquiris.
We will not be undersold. Well, these daiquiris, they don't have any booze in them. I want more alcohol. Give me more alcohol.
See, all those guys on the Redskins offensive line back when the Redskins were really good.
That's right.
Those guys used to hate our guts.
They did.
With the exception of Russ Grimm.
Mm-hmm.
Russ Grimm was the only guy on the offensive line that was our friend.
The only one. The only one. And the rest of them, they, you know, we'd have a little fun with them, and they didn't really like it.
Like Joe Jacoby.
I remember one time we were up at the training camp, and I think I was in back of whoever was producing the show at the time, and they said, Jeff Bostic, will you go on Don and Mike's show? He said, F no.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
This is you know who. Guess who?
No, I don't know. Is this the kid?
This is Eric in Sacramento.
Oh.
Eric in Sacramento.
Oh, I know. This is the FS guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? What do you want to say, Eric?
I was wondering if I could, if you guys would still let me be in the the call-in thing.
No. Listen, Eric. Yeah. Eric, we know all about you, man. Stop calling the show, okay?
Okay. I did give you Kensturbator yesterday, though.
Stop calling, Eric.
Huh?
Stop calling.
Okay.
You're just going to have to discipline yourself.
This is a guy that, like, for 6 months got his rocks off by calling, and he would bait us in the conversations, and he would scream as loud as he could the F word and the S word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only because someone that works on the show told me you weren't going to call anymore that I'm not giving out your business number or the address of your coffee shop.
Okay.
So just knock it the hell off.
Okay, I'm not doing it no more.
All right. Don't call anymore at all, Eric.
Okay, I'm not.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
There's a boy that's learned his lesson.
Hello, Don and Mike show. He had some of our fans from Sacramento go into his establishment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, at that one day where we finally got fed up with it and we said, if there's anybody that knows who this guy is, you'd be amazed how quickly that
works. Offer up $100, man, and people will turn on each other in an instant.
Like magic.
Okay.
Hungry wolves.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike. Talk about cheap tippers. Well, I used to work at a farm market. And Jeff Bostic came in and bought during the Christmas season, bought a $300 Christmas tree and gave me $1 for hauling that thing around. It was like 14 feet tall.
You're supposed to tip when you get a Christmas tree?
Oh, during the season? Yeah.
Yeah, that's good etiquette, Mike.
Really?
Yeah. Especially if you spend $300 on it.
I learned more on this show. I was just last year that you told
you
me about the
mailman. Your mailman, right? Mm-hmm.
And I saw the mailman. I practically ran him off the road and gave him cash this year.
Gotta tip your mailman.
Big grin on his face. You know, thank you.
Gotta tip your mailman. You want to get your mail. Hello, Don and Mike show. Last calls. We got to play the match game. Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike. I have a story about Jeff Bostic as well.
He seems to be the most popular ex-Redskin.
We were hanging out with Jeff Bostic at the company Christmas party.
Well, speak for yourself.
I chatted with Jeff for a while. Rob, didn't you have your picture taken with Jeff?
Yeah, I've got a lovely picture of
that's just because Rob was drunk out of his mind. He had his picture taken with Jeff Bostic.
That's right, and I chatted with him because I was cold sober.
That's right.
Hello.
Hey, he came into my photo store, and a little boy had come up to him, and he said, I know who you are. He said, you're the Redskin guy. And he was like, he just kind of looked at him and like turned away from him. And the little boy said, aren't you Jeff Bostic? Can I get your autograph? And he made this total face, rolled his eyes, and said, I don't sign autographs. And he's like, can you please leave me alone?
Okay. All right, listen. Enough. This guy's going to come down here and beat our asses, okay? He's
really
still in pretty good shape.
I swear, because everybody in our store was like so offended.
Listen, all I know is that this started talking about John Elway going into a TNA bar.
Right.
And now this has ended up being an indictment of... a certain member of the Washington Redskins.
You know, you always have to remember that it very well might not have been him. You know, just a guy that looked like him or something like
that. No, I bet it was him, Mike. I just want to say, I believe all these calls. It's just I don't want to get my ass beaten the next time I have to see the guy, because the guy still works for the Redskins, like doing a radio broadcast.
Well, after that last statement, I don't think you have to worry about getting your ass beaten at all.
Okay, thank you.
Well, Dynamite kick ass.
Right on.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Now, 8% of that group sampled at least one premiere to give us their opinion of the product.
Bottom line?
Well, of all the groups we tested, the response to premiere was just about uniform.
Mm-hmm.
They all said they tasted like sh**.
They all said that? Nobody liked them? Fewer than
5%. How much are we in for up to now?
To date?
To date, to here, to now.
Upwards of 350.
We've spent $350 million and we've come up with a turd with a tip? God almighty, Ed. We poured enough technology into this project to send a cigarette to the moon and we come up with one that tastes like it took a dump?
We haven't even talked about the smell.
Well, what'd they say that was like? A fart?
Yep.
But you're not serious. They really said that?
We've got an awful lot of fart figures, sir, yes.
Tastes like and smells like a fart. We got ourselves a real winner here. It's one goddamn unique advertising slogan, I'll give you that.
The Don and Mike Show.
Jesus effing Christ. The Don and Mike Show.
And yeah, all the bitching that we did on Friday seems to maybe have done a little bit of good, and of course we did that bitching about our status with the Westwood One radio network.
Well, at least our liaison, and the only liaison we have is Ken, and Ken got the message, and, mm-hmm. you know, but who knows how they feel up at the Big Bad Network.
Well, you know how they feel. They crap on us all the time.
Sure.
Here's the meeting we have with Ken Stevens, just to give you a follow-up on this, because Friday we were complaining that we're like the forgotten stepchild of Westwood One, and
right.
that they don't clear the show on any big stations.
That's right, that's
they,
right.
They want us around, but they want don't want us around. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they like having us. They like having us there, but as far as putting any effort or energy into the show to get it around this wonderful country of ours, they don't seem to want to do that.
Yeah, they don't do snot. Mm-hmm. So today, Ken sits down, and, you know, how many times have we gotten on the air and yeah. talked about the great numbers that our listeners have given us in other markets, not to mention the fact that every single month, I give Ken Stevens
right.
a copy of our ratings.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as I get them, show them the mic, then I run a copy up to Ken. I say, FYI.
Yeah, mm-hmm. just to see what's going on.
Today, it's like the first time he ever read them. He sits down in the office and he says, can I tell you guys something? You got some killer ratings.
You know,
right? Isn't that how he acted?
Yeah, something along the lines of, there's a real trend developing here that you're approaching, you know. And, you know, it's amazing, but at least he's aware of it.
Yeah.
That's better than we had before.
So the deal is, Ken's going to go to Westwood One. Now, it was hard to pin him down on exactly when he would be making this trip.
Yeah, it sounded to me, when he came into the office, the first 10 minutes of the meeting sounded like he was going up next week. Mm-hmm. And then by the end of the meeting, it was before the end of the year.
Yeah, he said, well, I'm going to go up. Well, not this week. It's Thanksgiving. And not mm-hmm. next week, but I'm definitely going before Christmas.
Yeah, there you go.
He said, I'm going before Christmas to have the meeting with Westwood One. And Ken is going to give our network one last chance
to make it right, to see if we can work things out to stay on this network. Because, you know, I was going to say there are advantages to staying on a network.
I don't see any.
And then I'm realizing, well, there really aren't.
I don't see. Plus, it seems to me to be a wasted exercise. You know, as I said to Ken, he's going to go up there, and he's going to say to Westwood One, listen, Don and Mike have all these ratings, and you guys don't do anything for them. And then what Westwood One is going to do...
We're going to try really, really hard. We're going to try harder. We're going to do better. We're going to try harder. We're going to do better.
Right. Yeah, that's not good enough. So I don't even see why he's wasting the time to go up there, but I guess that's the way the politics of this is playing out. But what it's looking more and more like is that hopefully around the first of the year,
mm-hmm.
we're going to break away from Westwood One and form our own syndication deal, perhaps, you know, with another company.
Yeah, you don't. Nobody knows what the future holds, and nobody knows what's going to happen, but things will change. And, you know, the good thing about all of this is when things do change, mm-hmm. The stations that hang with us are going to be treated better and better. And I think that's the one thing that came out of this meeting that was a real positive was that no matter what happens, that things will be better in the future for the relationship between this show and the affiliates we have.
So we'll either go to another network like ABC or J-Core or Premier,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, we just get the satellites ourselves and just do it ourselves.
From our lawns, sure.
Well, no, I mean, actually, we'll have to probably lease them.
We'll just put the satellites out, one on your lawn to point east and one on my lawn to point west.
I think we'll probably, you know what's funny is we may end up having to lease the satellites from Westwood One, so they may end up being our slumlords even if we break the deal with them.
Yeah, you know, these people that do this, they control everything.
But then what it means is, regardless, if we leave Westwood One, we get a better deal with another network.
Right.
Or if we can't get a deal we like with someone else, oh, well, I was glad to find out. I guess we're going to be able to break that deal with Westwood One, it sounded like, right?
You know, there's so much. This, to me, is the tip of the iceberg right now. And who knows what the future holds. I don't make any, especially when we're talking to that guy, I don't make any kind of predictions.
And Carlos the Jackal
and,
Stevens.
You know, and before anything proceeds, of course, you know, we will have to talk to
Cufflinks.
And our guy, too. Egypt, as well as Cufflinks. So
all the people we deal with have code names. Carlos the Jackal.
Right. We'll have to talk to the Jackal gets things rolling. And, you know, we might not even have to talk to Cufflinks.
No. I bet you Cufflinks will get involved in this.
Oh, yeah. You think so?
At some point. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Listen,
well, we'll see.
Cufflinks has gotten much bigger, but Cufflinks likes to keep his fingers in a little bit of everything.
Well, the reason the Cufflinks has gotten big is because he sweats the details. Yeah. You're probably right.
Yeah, right. I just like to say also for the record, Cufflinks, handsome.
Mm. Handsome, powerful.
Yeah.
Jackal, ugly. Egypt. Ugly.
Weird.
Ugly and pasty. Egypt is our agent.
Right. Egypt alive?
Yeah. Who would know? He never contacts us.
Never calls us. You know, and he doesn't need to either. I mean, you know, he comes along when we need him. And right. And that's, well, even when we need him, sometimes he's not there.
That's fine with me because I don't like talking to our agent. Because when I talk to our agent, I feel like I'm talking to a teacher and I've been a bad kid in school. Here's the deal we have with our agent.
Right.
We never tell our agent what we're doing on the show. Because if our agent had half an idea of the stuff we do on the show, he'd be on the phone all the time saying, oh, watch it, that's dangerous. You're going to make it all go away. What are you doing? You're out of your mind. Oh, I got to go to Egypt. Got to go on vacation. So one of the opportunities when Egypt calls me and he says, hey, where are my tapes of the show? I always say to him, I will get someone right on that.
Yeah.
And
then
I don't do anything.
How many years has he been saying that to you? Haven't gotten my tapes. Oh, you know, we're so sorry. That's terrible that you haven't gotten your tapes.
And every time we send Egypt the tape, he's like totally appalled at the stuff we're doing on the show.
Wow, that was really over the top. They let you get away with that?
So Egypt is our agent because he, on the eve of our most important negotiation ever, he was on honeymoon in Egypt with his trophy bride.
Uh-huh.
Egypt.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing when you're trying to negotiate a deal and your agent is on vacation. So he's on vacation in Egypt!
So Ken Stevens is Carlos the Jackal because he looks like a terrorist. And the great man that is the president of this company, he is Cufflinks.
Right.
Because he always wears big, impressive cufflinks whenever we meet with him.
And, of course, when we mention to the Jackal that either Cufflinks or Egypt is involved...
right.
Oh, watch him dance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Jackal's underpants go right up the crack of his behind. When you mention either of those names,
sure.
Egypt or Cufflinks.
Huh. Right. Because if Jackal's going to do what he says he's going to do, in my humble opinion, at some point, Cufflinks will have to talk to Jackal.
I think so.
Yeah. And if we are going to go along with what Jackal wants to do, at some point, Egypt is going to have to talk to Jackal.
Egypt has talked to Jackal. Egypt has also talked to Cufflinks in the past.
Yes, and it's never been really pretty when they've talked with each other.
Well, all three of them, Egypt, Cufflinks, Jackal, each of them...
They know each other.
They're all like swinging dicks.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They've all got their own thing going where they're the man.
Absolutely.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
I love the code.
Yeah.
I love our CIA code that we're using here.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Can I talk to him? Yeah, you're on the air right now.
Hey, Don.
Hi.
Hey, my, do you remember my pimple-faced teenager friend that called you on Friday?
What?
My pimple-faced teenage friend that called you on Friday?
No.
The Howard Stern fan?
The guy we got in a big fight with?
Yeah,
is that we're
going
to start a show today talking about some ass wipe from Friday?
Yeah.
Who is he, you?
No, he's standing right here. You want to talk to him?
No,
I want him to come down here so I can kick his ass.
No, he's supposed to be here. He missed his appointment.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don.
Yeah, Bobby.
This is Tom Archer from North Las Vegas.
Hi there,
talking about old Rodman, Dennis Rodman.
Yes, so what about Dennis Rodman?
Hey, did you know he had a TV series on every week?
A TB series?
Television, yeah. It's on.
Not tuberculosis, Mike. Oh. I think he was saying TV the way that Major Bill does.
Yeah,
Dennis Rodman's tuberculosis.
It's an LTB show.
Yeah, it could be that, too, because he plays a special ops type personnel. Yeah.
Yes, we know all special ops guys have tuberculosis. That's right.
Fantastic call. That's two good ones in a row. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Would you guys please stop bitching about Westwood One?
Hey, if you don't like anything we say on this show at any time, just change the friggin' channel.
You're on 61 stations, and you're complaining about it.
That's right.
It, you know, the quantity of stations would not be material at this point. You see?
You totally don't understand the situation. But either way, it's our show, so if you don't like it any time we're doing anything on this show that you don't approve of, go take care of those many children I hear in the background. Leave me the hell alone.
And he's gone, like the wind.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Plus, today we're not bitching. We're telling you that we think we had a positive development with Jackal.
Right. And you can have all the stations in the world and still not be satisfied.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Don and Mike show. And we don't have all the stations in the world, and we are not satisfied.
That's right. And we want satisfaction. We can't get no satisfaction.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
But I try. And I try. And I try. I can't get no satisfaction.
Yeah. So that's where we're at right now.
Rats on the east side.
Bed bugs uptown.
Look at me. I'm in tatters. I've been shattered.
Shadooby.
I'll never be your beast of burden.
Time is on my side. Yes, it is.
Time is on my side. Yes, it is.
Hey, brown sugar, how come you dance so good?
Jumping Jack Flash. It's a gas, gas, gas. Mike?
Yes, Don?
Start me up. You start me up. I'll never stop.
Yeah, we have the fever. Yeah, they're touring again.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, it's exciting.
We could do a whole show just reading lyrics to Rolling Stones songs.
It'd be great. Dramatic lyrics reading from the Rolling Stones.
Hello, yes, Don and Mike show.
How you guys doing?
Hi, Bobby.
Don, were you down on the sidelines yesterday?
At the Redskins game? Absolutely.
I think I saw you down there. I was walking on the sidelines, and I passed by a JFK camera guy, and I saw a guy in a tweed jacket with dark sunglasses.
Nope.
Is that you?
Wrong guy. Don wears the raccoon coat and the giant megaphone with Redskins on the side of it.
No, I wasn't wearing that outfit yesterday. I think you have me mixed up with Sam Huff.
No,
but we were on the sidelines for the game yesterday.
People always are confusing you with the linebacker.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, buddy.
Switched at birth.
Hey, I was just watching Sex Pies and Videotapes.
Oh, our fantastic video offering.
Yes, I have one question for you guys.
Yeah.
You paint your bald spot?
Paint your bald spot. I don't have a bald spot, sir. My hair grows.
By the way, something.
Why do you care?
Hello there, Don and Mike. Oh, goodness. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
This is Van West. I'm calling from Greenville, South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to let you guys know that we love you down here, and we hope that if the deal with Westwood doesn't go through or goes through, we don't want to lose you down here. You got a lot of big fans down here.
Well, I'm relatively secure that WPEK would be one of the stations that would re-up if we decided to, you know, form another deal.
Yeah, well, they finally got on board and stayed on past 7 o'clock, and they're all... you got a lot of big fans down there. A lot of fans.
They've got a lot of good reasons to you know, not change a thing down there.
Yeah, we got some good numbers down there, too, as Jackal has just found out.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Egypt already knew about that, and I think Cufflinks is very aware of those numbers also.
I bet Cufflinks is aware of everything that goes on.
How about coffee breath?
Coffee breath?
Joe Coyne.
Coffee breath. I want to come up with a different nickname for him, one that would be instantly recognizable.
Okay, how about prostate? You know the old prostate.
Prostate. Prostate probably, probably not involved until things get really evil.
That could be Egypt's last name. Hi, this is Egypt Prostate. I'm negotiating for the Don and Mike Show. My name is Egypt Prostate, and I can sell you.
I love Don and Mike Show.
Don.
Yeah.
How are you, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
I've got to talk to you. I need therapy.
All right.
I watched Paula Jones on Roseanne's show this morning.
Oh, how was that? You know, I know that got a lot of publicity.
I think I'd rather go to the dentist. It was like pulling teeth. Terrible.
Did she? I saw a clip of that show. Did she come across as trailer park trash as much as I thought she did?
Not
who, Roseanne or Paula trash. Jones?
Paula Jones.
Was stupider.
What's that?
Trailer park trash, only much less intelligent.
Yeah, dumber than trailer park trash.
Oh, my God. Bill Clinton's got the worst taste in women I've ever met.
I mean, I thought it was kind of like,
yeah, well, I'll tell you right now, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do a darn thing.
You know, it was that kind of sound.
And furthermore, she should get her money back on that nose job, don't you think?
Oh, really? I don't think there was anything any surgeon could do with that nose.
Should have come with some kind of guarantee or something.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So, Dad, can I have a sip of your beer?
No, son, you don't want to drink beer. That's for daddies and kids with fake IDs.
The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Mike?
Don.
I'm going to need your help here.
Okay, I'm with you.
You know when I read that slug and I always play the tape that said someone called for a doctor?
Yes.
I don't have that tape.
Okay, I can do breath.
Okay, you ready?
Yep.
This segment brought to you by Veramax Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer. It's doctor developed.
Did someone call for a doctor?
And clinically tested. Veramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, and other select retailers. Try it today. Veramax, 1-AAA try, VMAX.
Someone call for a doctor?
As you know, I love peeing outside.
Yeah. You have always enjoyed that. You're not unusual, I think, in that.
But I really, really dig peeing outside.
I understand that. Well, you know, I've been walking through major cities with you. I know it's true. I understand.
I mainly enjoy peeing off my deck.
Right. You see, and I think you think you're unusual, and you really, I don't think you are. I think a lot of guys like to do that in the same way you do it. You've taken it to perhaps a slightly exaggerated level.
All the time. Mm-hmm. You know, like at night, if we're watching TV, that rather than, well, part of it's a laziness factor.
Have you done it this week?
I did it today, 4 or 5 times. I mean, you know, I drink 4 quarts of water a day.
In the daylight.
I live in the middle of nowhere.
Okay, yeah. You've taken it to completely another direction. Because when it's cold, it's one thing when it's summertime and, it's convenient.
I love peeing off my deck. I love it.
You prefer that?
I absolutely love it.
Okay.
Huh. I've been known, if I'm on a long car trip, you know, there could be a McDonald's or a Burger King within sight. I'll say just pull off on the side of the road.
We as males have the advantage of easily being able to take care of that.
So I love it. And like I say, a lot of times if my family and I are watching TV, I will just get up and go, hey, all my water's coming back. I got to go to the bathroom.
Right.
They think I'm walking through the kitchen to go to the John, when in actuality, I very sneakily open the sliding glass doors very, very quietly.
Right.
And I slip outside and I take a leak off my deck.
That's getting a little freaky.
I love it. Mm-hmm. And then today I read this letter in Dear Abby.
Okay.
Dear Abby, this is my first letter to you, but after reading about the woman whose husband urinates in the front yard, I had to write. When I read your answer, I laughed out loud, even though I was alone in the house. I was reminded of a solution to a problem that we have here in the desert Southwest. Of course, I live in Virginia, so I can't claim this is any kind of a...
No, this isn't somebody writing about you.
Right. It isn't unusual for critters from the desert to cruise through town looking for food.
Right.
The javelina, J-A-V-E-L-I-N-A, javelina?
Sounds like it could be maybe a coffee house strip joint.
It's a wild boar.
Oh, it's a wild boar, okay.
Especially can be a nuisance because it travels in family packs. And once a group of at least 6 was checking out my porch every night to see if my cats had left any food. I would chase them away, but that would deter them only for a while. Mm. Someone told my daughter about a group of beer drinkers who usually drank outside the house.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, nice neighborhood. instead of going inside to urinate, they would just do it outside. Uh-huh. They had no problem with javelinas.
Javelinas would stay away because of the urine.
Uh-huh. Other people who were bothered by the pesky creatures tried it, and it worked. I finally talked my grandson into marking
his territory in various spots around my yard.
Cool.
It worked at my house, too. It has to be repeated every so often.
But
it's an inoffensive way to rid yourself of pests.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
I'm signing my letter, but do not use my name.
Didn't keep that fox out of your yard.
It's a small town, and I don't need that kind of notoriety. Arizona Reader. Dear Arizona Reader, thank you for an intriguing letter. Several readers wrote to tell me that urine is a pest repellent.
Yeah. Well, you know, I say it didn't keep
it's
that.
It's not killing the ladybugs in my house, I'll tell you that. We got a gazillion ladybugs again this year.
Wow. It didn't keep the fox out of your yard, but it probably didn't keep the fox out of your yard because you don't do the perimeter, do you?
No,
if
I
you
have
did the
one
perimeter,
spot off my deck. And I was looking at it today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, all the grass in our yard is going dead anyway because it's that time of year.
But there's that one little 8-square-inch area that's like a hole to China.
There's that one spot. And I've turned it into a game almost. You know, what I try to do is I try to get it off the gutter.
Right.
I try to, like, pee into the gutter so that it all will flow so I can watch the stream flow. But sometimes I can't shoot all the way to the gutter.
Right.
So I end up just going right directly down from my deck, and that's where there's like a, you know, like the bald spot on the back of my head?
Yeah.
Very similar to what's
there's
happening in my yard.
Growing. I mean, you know, stuff,
nothing's growing
that's,
there.
That's an area that you're going to have to, like, put the 10,000 year thing on when you move out of the neighborhood.
A dead spot. Well, there you go, in Deer Abbey.
Wow. That's, you know, you seem to be more into it than I thought you were into it, and what you ought to do
is
do the perimeter, and that will keep wild animals out of your
Your whole yard, yeah.
Probably keep the deer away.
Mm-hmm. I don't care about the animals. I just like that one spot.
So you'd have to do it that one spot.
One spot. That's my spot.
Hmm.
And if anybody, well, I don't want to tell my neighbors this, but I'm highly visible out there.
Oh, really?
Wow. Highly visible. And that's got a little bit of the allure for me also.
Well, now you're getting me. Boy, you're opening a whole world of kink here right now.
You stand alone.
Hey, yeah. Listen, thanks for coming to our cocktail party. If anybody's interested, I like doing that, and I'll be out there about 5:45 tomorrow morning.
I peed outside when I was at your house. You had your big dinner party.
Where'd you do it?
Out back by your pool.
What do you mean by the pool?
By the
like
pool.
On the grass or on the concrete?
Maybe a little of both.
Oh, my God. Well, we've had some very good storms recently, so that's okay.
Hello, Don on my show.
Hi, Don?
Yes.
Buddy.
Baldy.
It's Javelina.
Javelina. That's how you pronounce that animal?
Javelina.
Thank you. Oh, hold on a second.
Will you stay away from my pee?
This is Tim McWilliams calling in. Hello, Tim.
Big Don.
Hey, Big Tim.
Hey, Mike.
Hey there, Tim. How you doing,
8
buddy?
8 o'clock on Saturday morning, baby. You can call up Andre Viet in the garden, and he can ask him this question on the air.
Oh, Tim, would you stop it, please?
I'm telling you, baby, it's the show.
Tim, do you realize that story that you gave Mike was about a women's basketball league?
Hey, Don, you got to make the money when you can, baby. When sales are down, you know, you got to go there.
All right, goodbye, Tim.
All right.
Bye, Tim. That guy just called to get a plug-in for his garden show.
That's T. McWilliams calling.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hey, Don and Mike. I heard y'all read my letter on the air a few minutes ago. I wanted to call in and say thanks. This is Jeff.
Jeff, yeah, you know.
Joffrey?
Jeff. Yeah.
A very bad short-term memory. I don't even remember which letter was used for the Thanksgiving.
Please, the one testicle man.
Yeah, we actually put you in the loser pile, unfortunately.
Oh, why is that?
Because of the uptight family.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, listen,
no, it's not going to be a surprise.
It's
no.
Not like the Jenny Jones show where we're going to have a whole family here. They go, hey, surprise, here's Dennis Murphy, and here's a couple of naked girls.
Oh, no. The only one that's going to flip out is my aunt and uncle.
Okay.
Nope, that's not what we want, Jeff.
Sorry. My sister's got pornos that make you blush.
Not what we're looking for, Jeff, but thank you.
Jeez, well, I'll have to think of something else then.
Okay, good luck.
Next giveaway. Yeah, have a good one.
All right, peace out. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, how you doing?
Baldy, hello.
All right. Hey, Buzz, by the way, welcome back.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. I want to say I was from Arizona, and it's Javelina, and the caller before already told you about that.
Hold on. The caller before already told us about that, so why do you have to mention it a second time?
I am just going to further his story and say that a lot of the animals in the desert do the same thing. That's how they mark their territory. So you, in turn, are basically marking your territory. I was wondering if you are getting Bud to do the same thing.
Getting who?
Bud?
Getting who? My son, Bud?
Yes. If this is a skill that's being passed down.
No, I'm not getting my son Bud to do that with
me. All right, let's trace this call. I've actually got it all written down so I can take us through it. He mentions the javelina, which he knew somebody else mentioned. So that's a repeat of something he was mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes into animals mark their territory, something that is common knowledge that we have all known. He's mentioned the obvious. And then he calls Don's son Bart, Bud! That's three in one call. Yeah. Three strikes, you're out.
Later.
Later. Later.
Another friend made.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
I said it before and I'll say it again. We need new callers, man.
New fresh blood.
New callers.
This is a new caller. First time calling.
How come so many stupid people call this show?
It's the accessibility and we'll never change it.
Damn, we gotta change it, Mike. Too many dumb people call us. Really. I mean that.
Don, I gotta tell you something. Remember this, and I tell you this all the time. We're dumb guys, too.
I know, we're not that dumb, though. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Got a question for you, Don.
Yeah, buddy.
When you have company over, or Bart's got his friends over,
yeah.
do you use the toilet then, or do you still go out and use the deck?
It depends. I've done it when Bart's had friends over, I peed outside. I've also done it when we've had company over, when we've had, like, sit-down dinners.
Can you imagine, like, if Bart's friend said, hey, your dad's peeing off the deck, Bart?
Huh. I'm very sneaky.
Yeah.
I'd never get caught.
They don't catch you.
No. Like I said, I'm very sneaky. I'm very well prepared when I want to take a leak outside.
Well, as a man, when you take a leak, sometimes that can last for a minute and a half or so, depending on how much water or beer you
have. That adds to the thrill, doesn't it?
So, yeah. You know, and then what do you do, cut it off midstream if someone's
coming out? No, listen, that's another thing. It's impossible for a man to stop urinating once he has started.
No, I didn't know that.
My belief... Once you're going...
You have to sometimes.
Forget about it.
No,
maybe just me. I've never been able to stop.
I have. It's painful, too, sometimes.
Well, that helps you with sex, too.
Yeah, it does. And you could have problems later in life if you don't learn to control that muscle, the PC muscle.
That's right.
Shut that off. The PC muscle? What's it, in the shape of a computer? I don't know, but that's what it's called.
And you can actually...
Pee-pee control. You should actually practice shutting that on and off for health later in life.
I like it wide open, Buzz.
That'll help Freed out.
Haven't you ever printed your name in the snow? It's one thing when it's script,
yeah,
but it's another thing when you print it. That's
anybody
a good way to practice.
Can do that. I've written the Declaration of Independence in the snow.
Yeah, all in freehand. Here's my John Hancock.
Score and 7 years ago. Listen, don't worry about me, sir. I'm a very sneaky peer.
All right.
Okay,
thank you. You know what? I'm going to have to start trying that out, I guess. I just got a new deck, so.
All right, well, enjoy.
We'll see if I enjoy it.
Goodbye. I have a question. This just popped into my head, and it's a good question regarding your peeing outside. Do your patterns change in the rain? Do you due to the fact that you've got an instant kind of washing situation? Are you more free with your targets in the rain? I know the answer.
Yes. Yes.
I know my way around peeing outside a little bit.
Yes.
You know, in the rain. You know, would that mean that perhaps off the deck would not even happen when it's raining?
I don't want to answer that question. I think my family's listening in the car right now. I don't want to answer that question. We do have some real dead spots in our deck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at this. What kind of solution? What solvent did he use on this part of the deck?
Hello, Don. Mike Show.
Yeah, did you guys watch The Daily Show yesterday by chance?
We've already received a call on today's show about yesterday's Daily Show.
With the Comforter King.
Yes.
All righty then. Later.
The second guy that says later.
I demand that everybody that calls this show listen to the entire show.
Yeah, I think you've improved the quality of callers already with that statement.
Please.
Hello.
Don and Mike, have you listened to the whole show today?
Yes, I have.
I don't believe you.
Yes, I have.
What's the first thing we talked about today?
You talked about peeing outside.
This is
Tom Gavin. Oh, Christ's sake. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, this is Bruce. Is this Water Sports Chat?
Water Sports.
Hello, yes. Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Have you listened to the entire show today?
Well, actually, no. I just got off work.
I'm sorry. You cannot. You cannot participate.
This woman is pleading with you right now.
What?
Plead. Continue to plead. I like the pleading. Beg.
No, listen, I'm calling from Wichita, Kansas.
Uh-oh. Yes.
And there was a accident on the highway this morning, a Brinks truck.
There was a accident?
On the highway. With
Mike, there was a accident.
There was a big, big would make it worse.
Yeah.
There was a accident.
Exactly. And the Brinks truck door fell open and lost $50,000 in $1 bills.
Mm-hmm.
They've recovered $63 as of now.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah. I've been been trying to get through to you all day. I haven't been able to listen to the entire show.
That is an accident.
I tell you, for those drivers, that will kill a appetite.
Well, they had
It'll be money.
They had three accidents prior to the Brinks accident with people trying to stop and pick this money up off the highway.
That is quite end story.
Well, come on, guys. I thought you'd get a kick out of it.
Oh, I do. Thank you.
You did.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You are an and good caller.
Okay.
That call was and disaster. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right, one last call here.
Urge all our callers to avoid if they see an accident.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello?
Hello. Have you listened to the whole show today? Before you call, I must find out. Have you listened to the whole show today?
No, but I have some important
No. I want to make sure that you don't retread on material we've already covered.
He might be in the middle of an accident.
I saw a Carrot Top in the movie this morning, a World War II movie.
Okay, well, that is something new that we haven't discussed today.
It was a serious drama, too.
Really? Did you enjoy it? Of course you did.
Not really. It sucked.
It sucked?
But his real name is Courtney Gaines, and Eric Stoltz was in it.
Stoltz, buddy. Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
That is something that we have not discussed on today's show.
Well, thank you. Welcome back, Buzz.
Thank you, sir.
Give me your props.
This guy comes to us every year, and he's worth it. It's worth a year to wait to see him. He's bright, innovative, and terrific and funny, and a wonderful human being. Please welcome Carrot Top. Here he is. Isn't he marvelous?
Okay, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Buddy.
You listened to the whole show today?
I'll be honest, I have not. I've been locked in a secure area all day.
Well, it doesn't sound like you have an attitude.
No, not me. I love you guys.
What do you want to talk about? I just want to make sure that people don't keep covering stuff that we've already talked about on the show.
No, I've been with you guys since the morning zoo. I would never dare to do that.
Because while it might be new to you, you know, it's not new to the people who really do listen to the whole show. And, of course, Mike and I get very bored when people want to talk about stuff we've already talked about.
Absolutely. And so do the callers that have been loyal.
Yeah.
All right, now we've explained that.
Well, I just wanted to tell Don I relate to peeing off the deck. I got one of my own. The second best thing is having a drain in your garage when it's too cold out.
See, now I wouldn't do that. That's going too far for me.
A drain in the garage.
Yeah, but the best thing is you say you can write the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be able to do that, but I just turned 50, and I can write my name, but it's in Morse code.
Okay, all right. Gotcha. Dot, dash.
That's an old joke, but it makes me laugh.
Dot, dash. Thank you, sir.
Bocho Nakwe.
Yeah, you know the
whatever.
Bocho Nakwe. That's Russian for how you doing.
Bocho Nakwe.
All right, goodbye.
Bye, John boy.
Goodbye. Whatever. We'll be right back, everybody. Sorry, we're out of time.
When we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.